The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
They just got such big...
What?
Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
It's a great question. Tomorrow... after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about 40 bucks out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Stewie?
Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, here at PFW in Progress, we're already in progress here.
That's more important, Paul.
We're not in progress.
Paul and Fred are fighting.
No,
Paul and Fred are fighting.
Just so you know, Paul and Fred are not fighting.
No,
Paul and Fred are aligned
no,
on this.
It's not a fight. It's not a fight. No, the the nomination luncheon for the Patriots Hall of Fame is Thursday, and Stacey James, Media Relations Vice President for the New England Patriots, needs one of us, Paul or myself, to attend the luncheon at Skipjack. So, Paul,
but
you
he doesn't
go.
Eat fish.
You can order a burger.
But that smells like fish.
You'll go, right, Paul?
Yes, because I do what I'm told.
Because you just yelled at him.
You just told me I had to.
No, but why wouldn't you want to? I'll go. Why wouldn't you want to go?
Because it's during the show.
I know, but, you know, this is once a year.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. Teddy Bruschi, done.
Have you missed shows before because of this? Or have they been on other days?
I certainly just haven't.
I certainly try not to.
Did you go last year?
No.
I went.
I haven't been to... that. Well, evidently, there's a reason he did it. It took him 3 seconds, but he got me there. I haven't been, I wasn't there last year, and evidently I'm no longer part of the committee because I'm not listed as being part of the committee.
You are part of the committee.
But not according to the press release.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Nor are you, by the way.
No, I know, but who does the press release? Maybe they just don't know.
Probably Stacey James.
I don't think, no, it's probably one of his underlings,
no.
Right?
All the other people that are inside the Patriots organization are listed on the press release. Matt Smith, Brian Morey.
You will attend on Thursday at Skip. So
you sure you don't want to go?
Why would either of you go if you're not on the press release?
That's what I said.
You're off the committee.
And that's why I said it's not an argument with
Fred. Why should the team paper be there? That makes no sense.
They invited us, and it's
that's
at
Andy
a time.
Being sarcastic.
It's at a time that's during the show.
Yeah, we asked that.
So they removed you from the committee.
So 3 weeks ago when they solicited dates, I said I would like to be part of it, but I can't make that date. Evidently, everybody else could make that date.
And then they left you off the press release?
Well, I don't know. I probably wasn't on the press release
last
year.
Oh, maybe that's
it,
Paul. Maybe.
Is there a press release?
Maybe because of that, we said we had radio. They didn't include us, but then they thought about it more and said, we really do need to have somebody from PFW. So we should be honored.
Okay.
And feeling.
Then why don't you get the honor? Why why do I have to be the one that should in part of the week?
Look, honestly, I think when it comes to, you know, that type of memory of, you know,
I don't think there's going to be much call.
It's
not going to be much call for memory on this
Teddy
one.
Bruschi,
okay.
Thanks
when
for playing.
When the Globes, you know, when they send somebody, is it going to be Bedard or Joe Sullivan? They're going to send Bedard. And
he works for SI now.
They probably won't send anybody.
But you know what I mean.
I don't think there's anybody from the Globe that's on the committee.
You're the guy that has that kind of memory for these things.
Hey, why is the Globe not on the committee?
I don't think they have a writer on the committee right now.
I think you're more qualified.
It was Borges, and then Borges went to the Herald. So I don't think the Globe currently has a representative.
I think you can
Nor does PFW.
I think you can go say a few snide things about Teddy Bruschi and leave.
Nobody dove over, you know, running backs when they were in pass protection better than Teddy Bruschi.
God. You know, you're an idiot.
Which one of us?
You need more money.
Both of you.
How much?
It's 21.
The bow to use.
So you're going to need money for a tip, too. Don't be a cheapskate. I have a reputation to uphold.
I don't know, where have all our lunch buyers gone? And I'm not talking about just James Pettigrew.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, it's not fair that what happened to this? We forego our lunch.
You know what I blame it on, Fred?
To give people information.
You know what I blame it on?
What?
Andy.
What did I do? Oh,
this stupid marathon thing.
Soaked up. All our money to you.
You've soaked up our lunch fund.
Which.
All right, webradio@patriots.com.
How much have you been able to get from people?
From the show?
No, we're just...
I'm at like 6,300.
He's over the threshold. Well over the threshold. What's the threshold? 4,000.
I need to thank some people. Oh, boy.
All right, well, while Andy's...
Why are you doing
this? Prathamesh Vadahavkar. Thank you very much. Sorry for butchering your name, but I appreciate the donation.
Is that Pratt?
I'm guessing Pratt Pie? In my little email, it says Prathamir Vadamashkar. Vadahavkar.
Oh, boy.
When you need to drive, you gotta have a car. And Brian Gallagher with a very, very, very generous donation. Christian Simonelli.
With a T-I-A-N.
Right after, I think, he did his, and I just booked a room, your mother and I will be at the finish line. Like, literally, within a half hour after that,
good
he gave
Christian.
His donation.
You said right after he did, I go, your mother.
Pretty much. I hope I'm not missing some. I think some of them get deleted off my phone. But I need to thank everybody. And, I have another announcement.
That was very nice for all you people that have donated to Andy's
Very generous.
Fund.
But I actually have a relative announcement. I know some people were a little perturbed that I was offering up a Wes Welker autographed mini helmet since, Wes Welker is not the most popular guy right now.
It's a Broncos mini helmet. Right?
Well, now a Rob Gronkowski autographed mini helmet.
Yes,
to
definitely.
Anyone who donates more than $30 between now and I think it's the 7th I put on. But if you give – at least a $30 donation, and I'll appreciate it very much.
And will he spike it for you?
Oh, I hope not, because then it would break, and you just have a pile of little pieces. But a Rob Gronkowski autographed mini helmet could be yours.
And I'll tell you what, I'll add to that, Paul will sign it too.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I promise that won't happen. I won't diminish
if
the value.
At least do it like underneath or somewhere where they can hide it. So.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots and everything else. The only place you can do that, drafts heating up, free agencies kind of taking
still
a back
burner here. Still
waiting
for that second flurry that Bill was talking about.
Well, it's spring now. There's no more flurries.
It's pretty freaking cold.
It was cold this morning.
Yeah, it's cold right now. But I haven't heard any rumblings of anything going on with the Patriots.
Quiet in the Edelman camp.
Yeah. Did you check in with Erica Lee to see if we'd signed anybody?
She's busy.
What is that supposed to mean?
I think you know exactly what it means.
No, but I haven't heard anything. We did hear, of course, last week, Doomerville, the top of that defensive end free agency class, gone. So now
and Umanyora.
Yeah, and Umanyora. So Freeney and Abraham are the two top guys left. I haven't heard anything on
either. It seems like one should end up in New England and one should end up in Denver. But neither is happening, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Although Freeney wanted $6 million, so my guess is he'll end up in Denver. And Abraham, if it's less than that, will be in New England.
Of course, last week we announced the Patriots signed Michael Jenkins, the wide receiver. I saw one comment on Patriots.com, how people can comment on the art when we announced that. Someone said, well, this is a solid signing, but he won't make it out of training camp. So
then
which is it?
Then it's not a solid signing.
Is it a solid signing, or is he not going to make the team? Because he can't have both.
Maybe they take preseason and practice very seriously, and they want good competition on the field.
Yeah, and then whoever the emailer was, the commenter, in their defense, I've actually seen that written in various places that, if you want to have guys that you can call upon during the course of the season, it helps to have that base of practice. And that makes it a solid signing.
Well, then I think you really need to define what you mean by solid.
I think it's quite a stretch to say it's a solid signing.
Right.
Like Dante Stallworth was a solid signing.
A solid signing to me means you're making the team and you're contributing. You might not be a superstar, but you're on the field.
And, I would say even more, okay, I'll give you that, if the Patriots were okay at wide receiver at this point, but they're not.
Yeah.
And so to me, a solid signing at this point in time means the guy really has the ability to come in and make 50 catches.
Yeah, I would agree. He's got to at least come in and be a contributor.
Yeah.
If it's a solid signing, the guy's going to come in, he's going to make your team, and he's going to contribute.
But
to
a guy
team.
That is really questionable.
A guy that
to
you don't
think
is going to make the team
signing.
Is not a solid signing.
Now, I don't know if that's true either. I think at this point in time, he probably will make the team.
Well, today, if you broke camp today, I would say that he probably would make your team.
Just from a numbers standpoint, he has to.
Right. So, anyway, what else? Anything else going on? No? Nothing?
No.
No, we did talk a little bit about Jenkins. We talked about Jenkins a little bit on Thursday, right? You know, we kind of got to the fact that he has been sort of he lost his, you know, he wasn't the fastest guy to begin with, but he's lost a lot of his speed. You know, Minnesota, I guess they called him Molasses Mike. You know, so that's not
that's
a
great.
Good,
that's a solid signing.
Not
right
a good nickname for a wide receiver, but you know, a lot of people fixating on the fact that he's a little bit bigger than most of the Patriots wide receivers at 6'4". Not really considered much of a red zone threat, however, despite that size.
So he's big, but he doesn't play big.
And everybody talks.
What kind of route runner is he?
Solid.
Well, a slow one, evidently.
No, but if you know, if you can get a little separation, that's all you need at that size.
Yeah, I mean, he's been. I mean, he was a first round pick out of Ohio State, so you'd have to say his career has been a disappointment. He's been around 9 years. I think the career high was 53 catches for 777 yards. It was a little Shane Donaldson like right there, I think.
Yeah.
I think those were the career best. So he's not really lived up to first round receiver.
So who makes the team?
Reputation.
Donald Jones or Michael Jenkins?
Donald Jones.
At this point, both of them.
Today?
Today,
no,
yeah.
No, I'm saying when the team is made, September.
Donald Jones.
Donald Jones.
Today. We don't have a game today. Yes. We don't have a roster today. Jesus.
I don't know why you're yelling at me.
I know.
Mad.
Who makes the team?
Donald Jones.
Donald Jones. If only one of those guys can make the team, I would say Jones.
Well, you could go with neither if you'd like to.
But what about both?
Well,
that would,
Jones.
That would mean that they would
young.
Have to have considerable upgrade between now and then.
Yeah, what about both?
You suck.
I don't think both.
Then they haven't upgraded.
And your team blows.
I don't think both will make it.
I mean, you were worried last year that they didn't have enough good receivers. Those two make your team, your offense is taking a step back.
Yeah.
It already has.
Well, I'm still hoping.
Well, it's not over yet. We're not to September.
No, but so far it has.
We can still get talent.
I'm still hopeful.
One step backward and two steps forward.
One of the emailers said I should call him Colonel Sanders. I'm still hopeful that they get Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay, you're still at about break even.
He actually said it right.
Yeah. Well, that was a good that email.
Colonel.
That was a good way for me to now associate his name with something else. Mm-hmm. Colonel Sanders. I'll never forget him now.
He's going to be irrelevant because they'll never sign him.
I'm sure you will.
I just hope they do, man.
And then get
rid of that third round pick.
We should add, you know,
one last thing we got to worry about.
Talking about the wide receiver stuff, and I know Andy disagrees with me on this, but
the quarterback out of Tulane.
No, Darius Haywood-Bey signed
really
yesterday.
Really hate those Tulane guys, don't you?
1 year deal, low money. I thought it was a guy the Patriots could have, you know, taken a shot at. Nothing guaranteed there. And if he makes your team, he makes your team, and maybe he can contribute on the outside. And if not, he's just a waste of, you know, another first-round pick. You know, I just find it interesting. We can sign a 9-year veteran former first-round pick, but not a young former first-round pick that might be able to still run. I would have rather have had Haywood-Bey than Michael Jenkins. I think he more fit what the Patriots need.
Okay.
Andy disagrees.
Well, I just don't think he can catch, which I like my receivers to do.
All right.
Paul's just
speechless.
Because I don't think Haywood-Bey can catch.
But you don't think anybody can catch. I mean, Aaron Hernandez can't catch. Wes Welker drops a lot of passes.
Oh, I actually never ripped Wes Welker.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
not everyone's going to be Calvin Johnson.
Right. And he has plenty of drops.
And he led the league in drops.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But to me,
he's got high standards.
I think Haywood-Bey blows. I think he's a guy that made it into the NFL because he could run fast.
Well, certainly he's another one who fell victim to his draft status. You know,
I think that's why he got all the chances, because of his draft status.
He's like
Matthew Slater. If Matthew Slater had been a first-round pick, he's Haywood-Bey. Run fast, can't catch.
See, I would like to see Haywood-Bey be able to play in an offense that had some talent in it and a quarterback that could throw the ball. That's all. Maybe he can't. You know, maybe we'll see next year because he'll be in one of those. And if he doesn't do anything with the Colts, with Andrew Luck throwing in the ball, then Andy will be right. I think he'll have a decent year next year.
Imagine how low Luck's completion percentage will be next year with Haywood-Bey dropping passes.
I think he'll be fine.
52%.
I think you're vastly underrating him.
Speaking of Andy being right, John in New Brunswick, Canada, writes in, a longtime listener, fourth-time emailer. I sent the email in last week disagreeing with Andy's assessment of Jeff Demps. After doing some research, I probably owe Andy an apology. At this point, Eric is probably wondering why anyone would waste time sending an email to apologize to Andy. Anyway,
That's about right.
I did some more research and
next
found
he's eating
out,
salad.
I found out that Jeff Demps was not in the Olympic final, as Andy indicated. Well, he never did. But in the heat that broke the 20-year American record. So perhaps, Andy, you were not completely off the mark in your assessment, although
is this sarcasm?
I still believe to be an Olympic medalist is a very impressive feat and should not be dismissed lightly. Maybe what I realize out of all of this is that I am simply a JAG PFW fan and emailer, but if I keep listening, someday far in the future, I could be in the top 30.
I also heard he was in the top 30. Some people tweeted me that he was in the top 30 and he was this. And
What would he have to be to get to non-JAG status in the track and field?
Well, certainly by winning a medal, being on the team that won the medal would go a long way towards
it. But if he was in the heat that broke the American record?
Is it a fast track? Was the wind at his back? I don't know what went on.
Okay, so
he really is unbelievable.
You're making my point last week that track
Hayward Bay's going to catch 111 passes, he's still going to tell me.
I don't want to get on Jeff Demps. I can see people already screaming that they're not going to talk about Jeff Demps again, are they?
No, we're not.
Why? Yeah. Do people talk like that?
Sometimes when they get upset with us.
Or why don't we go back to the Hall of Fame thing? Because
yes.
There's some first-timers coming up that are big names, and Teddy Bruschi heads the list, Rodney Harrison, William McGinnis. We put something up last week. Andy and I went at it a little bit with Sam Snipe, Make Your Case. I took Rodney Harrison. Andy, you took?
Teddy Bruschi.
And Teddy Bruschi won like 70%.
And he's Teddy Bruschi is going to. In August, will be inducted into the Paper
Hall. The answer is Teddy Bruschi.
But should he?
Well, that was what I posed.
Yes.
Yes. A team Hall of Fame? Yes.
And interesting.
Willie McGinnis is.
But I'm not saying who's better, who had better measure, anything. I'm just saying as a team Hall of Famer, Teddy Bruschi is it.
Of course.
Just the perfect package. Yeah. The headiness, the love of the fans,
the name,
the everything.
Staying here for his whole career.
I think that's what a team Hall of Fame is about.
The overachievement. Yep.
I mean, he's saying it mockingly, but to me, that's what a team Hall of Fame is about. It's not all about necessarily who was the pure physical best athlete on the field. That's like the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This is, we've talked about this. I think Kevin Falk is a team Hall of Famer. He's not going down as the greatest, running back, third, anything. But to me, he's a team Hall of Famer for clutchness, loyalty, leader, everything. And to me, Bruschi is that.
Okay.
I mean, I remember seeing him, people cry in front of Bruschi. They will be brought to tears because Teddy Bruschi's in the room with him. To me, that's team Hall of Famer. That's special.
Yeah, Teddy Bruschi's absolutely a team Hall of Famer.
Now, I'm not necessarily saying that he's better than Rodney Harrison.
No, but that's what I'm asking. Who's most deserving to go in right now?
My question is, should he be? Of course, he should be a Hall of Famer. But compared to who should go in right now?
First ballot,
McGinnis
for the whole
Bruschi
package. I'd say
or Harrison.
I think Harrison's the best player of the three.
Yes, but Bruschi, I think, fills the requirements more
immediately.
Throw Parcells in there. Does he?
Well, I got a really well written email, and I apologize for not remembering who wrote it. I might be able to find it on my phone, but
was it Pratt
with Harrison, Rodney Harrison? They wanted to bring up Lawyer Malloy, and
Malloy
played a little bit.
Is he eligible though?
I don't know if he's eligible yet.
Yeah, because
I feel like he was still playing recently.
4 years after you retired.
He might not be eligible yet.
I think he's still open
but,
to play.
A really, really good. Good case to be made for Malloy over Harrison in terms of, remember, it's Patriots now.
Right.
It's not career. And Malloy, people forget, had some really, really good years before Belichick got here as well as after Belichick got here. So that'll be another one that you sort of throw into the mix. He's a guy that sort of, I think, risks getting lost in the laundry here because he was only part of one of those championship teams. Some of these other guys that are going to be up now were part of all three.
But he'll get in eventually. He's a team Hall of Famer.
Should be.
It might be, down the road. It might be 10 years from now.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out because it was really, really well-written email, really thoughtful.
But are you saying that anyone that was good during those years gets in?
No.
No?
No, I mean, like Roman Pfeiffer doesn't get in, I don't think. He was good during those years.
Wait, I mean, all the guys we're talking about were Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber players.
Malloy was All-Pro?
Yeah, I believe he was a two-time All-Pro.
Okay.
And a multi-time Pro Bowler.
It was from Timothy Dillard.
Hey, Tim.
Really, really well done with Malloy. Yeah, he was, I think he was a second-team Pro Bowler in 98. And first team in 03.
All pro or Pro Bowl?
It says first team all NFL Associated
yeah,
Press.
But 03, oh, yeah, that's, oh, that's
he
all
was
pro.
Not with the
that's
Patriots.
All pro. That's all pro. That was Harrison all, in 03. 98, Malloy was second team all NFL. In 99, first team all NFL.
Right. So he's a all pro.
That's a two time all pro.
We're talking about guys who are all pro caliber players. There's a lot of them, Fred. There's been some good players in this era.
No, I know. I mean, that's why they won.
Right.
Yeah, and four-time Pro Bowler, not that Pro Bowl is the be-all and all, but...
No, but...
It's good good.
So it sounds like there's no argument. It's Brewski on a banana peel.
No, I think...
Slides right in.
Brewski on a jet ski.
I think you can make an argument. I think you can make an argument for Rodney, and I did. And in full disclosure, I said it, stated right up front in my first sentence that he's my favorite Patriot that I ever covered.
Does it get more interesting next
year? That might be
year,
clouding my judgment.
When Harrison is still eligible, McGinnis, and who else becomes eligible?
Ty Law
year?
Might
Ty
be
Law?
Eligible next year.
You know, does that make
then
it...
I'd go Ty Law.
I would go Ty Law over Rodney. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Tough call. But, yeah.
Yep.
Rodney would be the first chemically enhanced Patriots team Hall of Famer.
You sure on that?
No.
Okay, then don't.
The first one proven.
Don't make claims that you don't know the validity of.
All right, so Paul will represent PFW on Thursday.
We're just going to keep trying to get
well,
under my skin.
Fred can't
with
that? Go because there's a chance we might have his favorite all-time player on the show.
Oh, and that's another reason. I have to evidently
fist bump. Good game.
Gerard Mayo was the best player interview we had all last year, and we possibly could have him on the show
on
Thursday.
Possibly.
And I have to miss that now to go to a seafood place.
You can get a burger.
Can't even get a lunch.
Like seafood.
Well,
why don't you get sushi? Do they have sushi
Are you
there?
Playing the role of Fred now?
No, but they have sushi with no seafood at all in it, right? With the rice and the cucumber and the,
I guess,
the California roll.
Is it then
now
sushi?
Now that sounds good.
They're actually pretty good. You dunk it in the
rice,
sauce a little bit.
Rice and cucumber.
Good.
Yeah. Unless this red...
Sorry, I didn't know everything you eat had to make you get a step closer to the grave.
Unless it's a red meat and potato sushi, he's not interested.
Do you have
fried
a pepperoni
potatoes.
Sushi?
And only then if only those potatoes are fried. With ketchup.
What do you think of the quarterback carousel of crap bum quarterbacks?
Interesting, though.
Interesting,
I mean,
but I don't think
remember,
anybody really got better.
Can you remember the amount of movement in quarterbacks in an offseason?
But
no.
I somebody wrote, and I think it might have been your guy Florio, Andy, or somebody else, but
why was it stupid?
A lot of this movement of veteran quarterbacks could be a smokescreen to hide interest in really drafting, you know, someone in the first round.
Well, why?
Well, because, you know, they got their quarterback, Carson Palmer, so they won't be interested in Geno Smith. Well, no. Maybe they just got Carson Palmer to back up Geno Smith, you know?
And according to Nolan Naraki, Geno Smith's the sixth best quarterback in the draft.
Regardless of what, but I think that's a viable...
I think it's stupid.
Why is it stupid?
I don't think teams go through that kind of, like... Paying Carson Palmer $8 million for a smokescreen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most expensive smokescreen ever. It's
okay,
stupid.
Look at Matt Flynn. You know,
I think the Raiders want Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn's not going to make $8 million.
No, he's going to make $13 million over the next 2 years. And that's an expensive smokescreen.
And he could be a very decent veteran guy on the bench. Maybe he starts right away while you're grooming.
Then it's not a smokescreen. A smokescreen is you're just doing it to throw off the other teams. No one made a move just to throw off the other teams.
No, it's still a smokescreen if you think, well, they got Matt Flynn, they're not going to be drafting a quarterback.
No, they got Matt Flynn to play. That's why they got Matt Flynn.
But that doesn't
That's why they invested $13 million in Matt Flynn.
But that doesn't mean they still won't draft one of the top quarterbacks.
Right. So it's not a smokescreen. It's trying to make their team better. It's a move intended to make their team better.
Yeah, if anyone thinks that, oh, just because they got Matt Flynn, they're all set.
That's stupid.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
so the analysis in that piece, wherever it was not good.
I disagree. I think that
there are
some teams that might think, okay, they're not going to use a first-round draft pick now on a quarterback when, in fact, they still could.
They might think that either way because a lot of people don't believe there's a first-round quarterback in the draft.
That's what I think is
going
to be the most.
But paying somewhere in the range between $8 and $13 million for a smokescreen is terrible business. I'd fire the GM immediately.
No, it could still be a smokescreen and the guy can still start. Is what I'm saying.
No, then you acquired a starting quarterback. You think he's good.
The smokescreen is not who's going to start. The smokescreen is, oh, now they won't draft a first-round quarterback.
So if they kept Carson
that based on Matt Flynn.
If they kept Carson Palmer, is that a smokescreen? Well, they kept Carson Palmer. They're paying him $13 million. They're not going to draft a quarterback. Like, there's no smokescreening.
If they got Tom Brady in a trade, then you could say, yeah, they're not going to draft a quarterback
right.
in the first round.
Oh, they got a guy who never played before.
Yeah.
Like, it's a terrible smokescreen.
Yeah, but I think the part about the draft, we talked about this on our first draft podcast on Monday, the quarterback, I think that's going to be really fascinating to see.
I hope
if they go the whole – I think there's a very good chance, Andy.
I do, too.
The more that you're hearing some of these big-time draft guys
– Geno Smith, number one overall or not at all?
I mean, Nolan Naraki from Pro Football Weekly is saying that he's the sixth best quarterback now, Geno Smith. If there's no – there's a chance that no quarterbacks get taken in the first round. I think especially juxtaposed with last year and how good the draft class was last year. I think that would be one of the more fascinating elements of that. For, what is it, the 25th? What's the first night of the draft? April 25th?
25th, right?
I don't know, Thursday.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that if you get, you know.
And there'll be like nine fat guys going.
And you go beyond, like,
no
say, five, six, seven. Once you get beyond the top 10, you're really not. I mean, most of those other teams are either completely set at quarterback, like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, or you have a young guy like Ryan Tannehill that. You're not sure about yet, but you
right.
think you have the guy.
Certainly not.
You're gonna, not in the right. market for another first-round
right.
quarterback.
Right.
I think there's probably 20, 25 teams in that category, and there's only like, you know, maybe a half dozen.
Unless somebody does the Aaron Rodgers and in the 20s says, Geno's
too good,
pretty good.
Too good to pass up.
He's an athlete. He's RG3, and we can let him, you know, refine himself for a year or two.
But even then, it would have to be a team, well, you know, like Denver or New England, you know, because
– yeah.
There's not that many teams that the quarterback is old enough that you would do that to.
So, when do you think...
You know, I wouldn't do that if I were the Giants.
No.
Or Green Bay.
How about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh could.
So, do you think there will be a run on quarterbacks at what...
I don't think he's going to be a quarterback playing
point,
in his 40s.
And when do you think that will be?
What?
Probably,
do you think
probably
there'll
more
be a
like the
run
second
on quarterbacks
round.
At
no.
some point?
I think the quarterbacks blow.
We were talking about
yesterday's pod. There may not be a starting.
It might have been the most negative podcast we've ever done on any position.
I don't think there's a long-term starting quarterback in this draft, and certainly not a lock of a long-term.
Andy and I even argued over the merits of seventh-round Jag quarterbacks.
And I
he thinks that the kid from Washington State's good, Tool. He is a Tool. And I think the kid from Tulane
there.
isn't bad. And we even disagreed on that. I mean, seventh-round/free agent types.
And then Eric asked
not
me,
a lot of talent
you know,
in this class.
A good guy, a good backup quarterback for the Patriots. And I said, this sounds kind of stupid, but Matt,
Matt Barkley.
And then I read today that Albert Breer tweets that an AFC scout has told him Matt Barkley's a good backup quarterback in the NFL. And I just assume he heard it here and just made up the AFC scout part. And going on my track
so
record.
So what do you think the intrigue level will be with
right?
this draft, you know, compared to other
None.
Drafts? I think it's going to build. I think... Because so many things are up in the air and, you know, there's not any clear talent that is just head and shoulders above everybody else, I think that makes it a little bit more intriguing.
For football fans?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I think when you have Andrew Luck and RG3, you become a sporting event. You have legitimate interest outside of the hardcore fan. I don't think people that aren't fans are going to care a rat's ass about this draft.
Sure.
I think
this will test Paul's thing because I think the ratings should be down. I'm sorry. It's not interesting to see three left tackles, two defensive tackles, and a cornerback go in the top
five.
Yeah,
I agree with
that. But I think it's going to, I think the ratings will be the same because I think.
Because they'll tell you they're the same.
Well, yeah, but I was trying to be serious for a second. I know my smart ass routine that they'll just tell us that they broke every record, but I feel like every draft is the same for football fans, and I think those are the people that watch the draft. I don't think so.
But this one could generate more argument between, you know, the Mel
football
Kuypers
fans.
And the Todd McShays.
Right.
Because,
but not between Joe Average Fan.
No.
Joe Average Fan knew RG3. He knew Andrew Luck. He knows Ricky Williams. I think you need receivers, running backs, quarterbacks to drive ratings in the periphery.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Football fans may be very. I mean,
now, they know Manti Te'o.
Joko, that's an easy tackle.
Know, just as a story, where does Manti Te'o go?
Right.
That's a story that people will be following.
Yep. Yeah. But I think to Andy's point, you don't typically recognize the name of an interior lineman, either side of the ball.
Right.
And if you do,
Paul, then you're
really like a draft Nick.
What? Right. So why do you got to do that?
I'm just kidding.
So but the like, excitement, you know, even if he's a great player, like when Richard Seymour was drafted, for instance, I remember that the sigh could be heard across New England.
Paul resigned.
I was one of the signs, but it wasn't because I didn't know who Richard Seymour was.
No, but a lot of people did sigh because they didn't know who Richard Seymour was, and they just were like, oh, they wanted,
they want the sexy
David Terrell.
I couldn't have been more wrong. Not only did the guy they picked turn out to be a great player, the guy I wanted to pick didn't. So I couldn't have been more off on that.
But I just think for it to be big, you have to have the star skill positions that people know. They saw him in the Heisman. Like Manziel, he will be a popular discussion, assuming he kind of trends where he's going. That'll be something where Joe Average, my mother might know, you know, well, that Manziel kid, is he going to go number one? I think they're
I feel like you get that buzz.
I mean, for God's sakes, we're talking about Chance Warmack, a guard, being a number one overall pick.
You get that buzz, and I totally agree with you, Andy, that, you know, I always, you know, Andy uses his mother. I always use my Aunt Carmella that, you know, that barometer that it transcends sports. Right. Everybody knows who Andrew Luck is, RG3. But I don't think those people watch the draft. I think the people that sit down to watch a draft, those are real hardcore.
I think nowadays they do. In a prime time,
I think
you got
to be a hardcore to watch a draft.
What do you think about this new idea that I had?
Was this it was going to go town to town and be a carnival?
Like, if you're a veteran, okay?
I can't wait to hear this.
You're a veteran and you become a free agent. So you reach free agency, all right? Okay. And you're out there.
Wes Welker.
No one has any rights to you whatsoever. You can say, I want to requalify for the draft. I will forego all the years that I've built up. So again, I become a rookie again, but I want to go in the draft.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know.
Oh, I was waiting for like.
But a guy
so you
like,
don't even have an argument.
A guy like Tebow, for example. A guy like Tebow. No one wants to pay him the money that, you know, somebody might be willing to draft him again and pay him rookie money, you know? And so now I don't have to. Because of the CBA, literally, I can't make less than the veteran minimum, or I'm, you know, violating the CBA. But by doing that, by foregoing all the years that I've built up, a team can now pay me rookie money, and I'm not violating the CBA. And I can go, you know, to any team that really wants me because they drafted me.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't like it?
Get it, really.
Okay. I don't get what's in it for a player.
Either player.
It has to be
either the veteran or the rookie bumping out of the draft.
Yeah, it has to be that case where no one like Tebow comes to mind, where no one wants to pay him what they'd have to pay him now.
Wait a minute.
But somebody might be willing to pay him fifth round
money. So is there an underlying thing here that's going to set Andy off into orbit any second now? Is this old poor Tim Tebow now the reason why no one wants to turn it over to him is money? He's on a rookie contract. He's making nothing.
He's making first round money for a backup fullback.
He was picked in the first round, which he's supposed to make.
But that's what he's making now.
Now it's unfair that he's making first round money. It's not his fault that they took him in the first round.
He was shackled with that first round contract.
I thought you said Andy's head was going to explode. Your head's exploding.
Because
I think he's starting to understand it more than I still don't really.
I don't.
So
I don't
your
get
idea
this whole
is
thing.
Tim Tebow can now be a seventh round pick and make $385,000.
Right, and be on a team that really
and
wants
still
him.
Not have anybody that wants him.
You're making it sound like
but the Jets can just
this
cut
is
him.
A money thing.
They can cut him,
and then somebody can sign him. Now they'd have to pay him $485,000 or whatever because he's a third year veteran minimum.
Right.
This has nothing to do with the money. He blows. Right. He doesn't have a
position. Well, it was a side thing from Fred's plan. Like
I thought we were trying to think of a guy, Julian Edelman. You know, am I better off I go in the draft and I'm a third round pick as a punt returner or whatever? I mean, the idea is interesting from like a fantasy football perspective. I don't know why the players would do it.
Okay.
It makes no sense to me.
All right.
There's nothing in it for the player.
Any player, as I said, not only you also now bumped out a guy who now was going to be an undrafted rookie who may have been a seventh round pick.
Well, is there something in it for a player who's just sitting out there and is not getting any offers?
No.
But
no.
You think someone would draft that guy?
Yeah, maybe.
Guys get drafted on potential. If you've already been in the league 4 years, people know you're kind of out of. She looks good.
I mean, when you think about all the players that get drafted in the seventh round who don't even make teams. You know, what about a pool of, you know, free agents that are just sitting out there that, hey, you know, I could pay this guy seventh round money and he'd be okay, I'll take him.
And he's not that good. He's still number 53 on your roster either way.
Yeah. I just don't understand why.
Actually, he's less than that because he's already played 4 years and proven he can't play.
Someone could give him a one-year contract for the minimum as opposed to.
It all comes down to value. You know, is he worth paying fifth-year money?
Yeah, but now you're getting into
money,
value.
No.
You know,
but is he worth paying seventh-round money?
Then he's not worth that.
No, because he doesn't have the potential, because the other guy has the potential to be good. This guy you know sucks. You're not willing to pay
him. If you have a guy that's not worth the minimum,
plus you can do the veteran minimum.
He's not worth the minimum as a rookie either.
You can do the veteran minimum salary cap thing, too.
But that's $900,000 after.
No, it's like five-something.
No, I'm talking about a guy like at 6 years.
If you go like 6-7 years in, the guy That's a different argument altogether.
You're talking about like one guy. I mean, you're whittling this down to
a very
small
population.
It's
all about Tim Tebow. now no one wants Tim Tebow because of the money. I mean, I've heard a lot of excuses, but that's a good one.
I hope he goes to like Canada or Arena and sucks there. Because
could you imagine him playing?
If he goes to Canada, he'll break all of Doug Flutie's
records. I actually
think
he would be a good in Canada, but I think he would be absolutely abysmal in the Arena League.
I think he might suck in both.
With how long it takes him to throw the ball?
Yeah.
I think he might suck in both.
He'd be better in Canada.
I don't watch a lot of Arena League games, but I remember Kurt Warner, one of the things that he talked about was how it really helped him make quick decisions.
Yeah, it's timing, accuracy,
quickness. I think it would be the absolute worst thing ever for Tim Tebow.
He might be a fullback, two-way
player. Yeah, he could do that. He could play a mean middle linebacker.
Because the one thing, he's an athlete. He's a big, strong, versatile athlete.
Well, that's why I think he would succeed in Canada.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I think,
I still think in Canada you have to be able to throw the football.
Yeah, but you have so much space.
It doesn't matter.
It's hard.
The receiver is still only 6 feet wide. If you can't hit him within this target, this reach, this wingspan.
He'll run around. He'll do what Flutie did.
But Andy, he was able to run. He was able to run around and make some plays.
I think Flutie as a thrower is light years ahead of Tim Tebow.
Oh, God, yeah.
He could actually throw a spiral. Tim Tebow can't.
And he could throw deep. And yes. He had a good arm.
I hate to say it, but I do think Flutie was better than Tim Tebow. I wanted to make an argument there, but I just couldn't.
All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tao is in California. Hey, Tao.
A Tao of poo.
Tayo?
Tayo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tayo Cruz?
Yes.
Just so you know, Kevin did write Tao.
How is it spelled?
T-A-I-O.
T-A-Y-O.
T-A-Y-O.
Tao is T-A-O.
That's not how it was written. I'm sorry.
I should have known. Sorry.
I joined the PFW Facebook page, and I was talking to some guys, I was talking to some other Pats fans, and basically I was saying that Rob Ninkovich is still a Jag, you know, and some of the other Pats fans on Facebook were saying that he's not a Jag, and that...
He's not, he's a Patriot.
He's still a...
I don't think he's a Jag on the Patriots. Certainly not.
I mean, he was probably their most consistent, best playmaker for the last couple of years. And
is getting better with age.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is on a good defense. I think he's a rotational player. I don't think he's great, but he's had very good seasons, made a lot of plays, shown his versatility.
Yeah.
He might be a Jag in terms of elite.
Yeah.
You know, if you try to push him into the Pro Bowl, if you try to push him into...
Yeah, that would be a stretch.
You know, he's not DeMarcus Ware.
He's the Jeff
Debs
of the Olympics.
Yeah, that's kind of a fair comparison. Or, you know, he's probably not quite as good as Matt Light, but we used to have the Matt Light argument. He's not a franchise left tackle. He, you know, might be the 12th, 15th best left tackle, but with everything Ninkovich does, he's a good football player.
Yeah, can't argue that.
Yeah, I just think that he's like a Jag, you know.
All that analysis did nothing for you, Andy.
I think that if we lose him, I mean, like, I'm not going to be like worried about it.
I mean,
know?
Do you think he's a Jag because like he's not on ESPN Sports Center? Like, what are you basing him being a Jag on?
No, I just think that like.
What is your definition of Jag? I think we need to start with.
Yeah, just an average player that you could like be like easily replaced, you know.
With who?
Okay, that's Dane Fletcher.
With who?
And sadly, on this team, Rob Ninkovich is far from easily replaced.
Yeah. Replace him with who on this team? Silence.
Is everybody on that PFW in progress doing drugs?
That's what it's there for, I think.
Because I think we are all well aware of the limitations of Rob Ninkovich, what he is, but. To say he's a Jag, well, now I need a new term for.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Teo's
other guys
because he has that opinion. I'm just saying he just
no based
we're
on
trying
his,
to get a response
based on
out
his
of
voice.
Him.
He,
now, and to me, the best argument for Teo is the only reason he's the Rishay Caldwell of the Patriots defense. Somebody's got to make plays, and somebody's got to be out there and do stuff. And that is to me a commentary on the Patriots defense as much as it is about Ninkovich. But
Ninkovich, you can't argue that he hasn't made progress in the years that he's been here.
I agree.
He's become more than you talked about overachievers before, Paul. I think Ninkovich has become an overachiever for this team. He's a guy that nobody expected to become a full-time starter, a regular contributor at the very least, and a playmaker at times.
Right.
I don't think anyone has seen that.
I mean, last year I asked him, do you think you can hold up at
right there?
End?
You pass the Jag
absolutely
moniker, and you
now he's not an all-pro. He's not a pro bowler. He's a very serviceable player on a defense that needs help. He stands out a little bit more maybe because of that. But
I mean, I wanted to get a Pro Bowl campaign more than a for him last year just based on his numbers because he had forced fumbles, fumble. You know, if you looked, he was up there with a lot of and I like him, and I wanted to, he's not that guy. But don't tell me if he were somehow released tomorrow, he wouldn't find employment damn quickly.
Last year, he was more than a Jag. There's no question about that. He had a terrific season, and he did a lot of different things. That's what I like about him is he shows up in different areas, not just – he's not – like if you lined up and you look at Chandler Jones rushing the passer and Rob Ninkovich rushing the passer, you don't really look at the two the same way, even though both had around the same amount of sacks. And they probably would have ended up – Jones probably would have had more if he had stayed healthy. I mean, he's a more gifted
10-sack guys and guys who could get 10 sacks.
He's a more gifted guy in terms of just rushing the passer. But you look at some of the different things that Rob does, I think he's a pretty effective player. And I don't think that he is a Jag, when you look at it that way. And I agree with Andy. I think if he got released, I think he wouldn't be out of work very long.
I mean, is Paul Kruger a Jag? He was he was a backup player.
A little bit.
I know, but he just got $40 million, so where is our Jag meter? I kind of think Rob Ninkovich and Paul Kruger, not all that much of a difference except in their paychecks. I think Paul Kruger is maybe going to be the most overrated bust player we've seen.
And Ninkovich didn't have the guys to support him. Well, he had Welker on the line there, but, Kruger could have been
I don't know what he's talking about.
Kruger could have been a beneficiary.
Who's Welker?
Have a stroke?
Paul Kruger. Who am I talking about?
I don't know.
Welker.
The guy from the Ravens.
Said Welker. What does Welker have to
Welker?
Do with that?
Yeah. I meant Kruger.
Yeah, what about Kruger?
You said Kruger had Welker
on the line with him.
No, I said he could have been a beneficiary of the guys around him, whereas Ninkovich kind of had to do it on his own.
He doesn't even remember saying Welker. You said Kruger had Welker on the line.
I think
you mean
misheard.
Suggs?
A beneficiary. I didn't say a person. I didn't say a name. Play
did you
that
hear
thing.
It? Because Andy and I immediately looked at each other trying to figure out what he meant.
Kruger had Welker.
No.
Wait, on the line.
No. That's not what I
meant. Well, we can't rewind the tape, though, because he's not here.
Let's go to Chester on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Chester.
Hey, fellas.
Did I just say Welker?
How you doing? No, you said Chester. We're good.
Okay.
Hey, No.
When I was talking about Paul Kruger, did I say Welker? Were you listening?
Apparently
no,
not.
I didn't catch it.
Okay. Anyway,
he was getting
man. That last call was brutal. In my opinion, Ninko's anything but a Jag. I mean, the guy's got so many intangibles. You can line him up everywhere. I just think that's foolish. And I think Andy, you hit it on the head. I think people are misconceiving what Jag means. I mean, Jag means just a guy. And if you're able to do multiple things on the field at a professional level, I think that immediately excuses you from that moniker, so to speak. But first off, I wanted to say I ran into the draft preview podcast over the weekend. Great stuff, gentlemen. Loved it. Getting me really excited, as we're finally getting out of these doldrums of the offseason, obviously, splitting atoms on, whether or not Froze need to re-enter the draft. Fred, no offense, but that proposal had about as much credence as one of Alvin's phone calls.
Well, we knew we were in trouble when he asked him to defend it, and he didn't really have a reason.
He said why, and he said, I don't know.
Yeah, more dead air than the caller before me, that Teo kid. Anyway, guys, a couple questions for you. Number one, what happened to David Nelson? There was a lot of talk about this guy. We end up getting his
still available
Jag brother, on our team here. And I'm wondering, is his knee still bad? I really got a lot of hope that a guy like this gets on our team, but, wondering what happened there. I need a little more excitement with this wide receiver situation. I mean, thanks to Eldridge, every time I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I keep worrying about the Welker situation with that Welch's in my hand. But anyways, guys, I can't wait for the draft, and I'm plugging Robert Woods all day in the second to third, hoping to see that. Anyway, love to catch your thoughts off the air. You guys have a great week.
Okay,
Chester.
Thanks, Chester.
I think Woods is intriguing. Obviously, everybody knows I love Williams, but based on NFL Draft Scout, Woods is a little higher thought of. I mean, he's a 1-2 as opposed to a 2-3.
I think Woods is going to be one of those guys that's going to play. I think he's going to be a very safe pick. I think he's going to play like 10 years. He's going to catch a ton of passes, but
he should.
He's not going to be overly dynamic doing so. I don't mean that disrespectfully to him at all. I think he's going to be one of those sort of number two guys on a team that makes a lot of possession-type catches. I don't think he's dynamic.
I don't really think he is either. He's been very productive, and I think I agree with you. I liked his body control, his catching ability, some of those things.
He's a
good
player.
So does that make him not a fit for the Patriots?
No, I think it makes him.
Or do you think they
need
a dynamic?
I think it very much makes him a fit for the Patriots because I think that's the kind of guy that they feel better about than the guys that.
Well, I'm not saying what they feel better about, what
they
need.
I think, well, what they need, I think, is more of the home run threat.
Okay.
And I think what they like is guys that are a little bit more safe. And I think they look at the boomer bust guy and they worry about that.
It's funny. They've been going safe all these years in the second round. I hate to see what happened if they went boomer bust.
See, I think Bethel Johnson was a boomer bust guy.
Yes.
I think Chad Jackson was a safe guy that just didn't. He didn't turn out to be safe.
Right,
I agree. Chad Jackson caught a lot of short crossing routes in Florida. You know, a lot of high volume in that
spread.
No, I
was saying more in general, not just receivers.
Yeah.
Was Rasai Dowling boom or bust? Was Darius Butler
bust.
Boom or bust?
Bust.
Was Ron Brace boom or bust?
Bust.
No. To me, Ron Brace seems like a safe pick or type.
See,
but
I think Darius Butler was, too. Now, the... who's the other one? He's the first one. Rasai Dowling, I think, was a boomer bust.
Because he was a top 10 cornerback talent who, because of injuries, was a second-round pick. But that my point was just they've swung and missed a lot by going safe, boomer
yeah,
bust,
listen,
or however you want to look at it.
Even when you're good like the Patriots, it's not easy. It's not easy to get them all right.
I agree.
You know, it's a hard thing to evaluate. And
every team.
But
every team has its every radio shows for every team could be making these sarcastic,
right?
You know, Lime is sweet. Good pick there, Kevin Colbert.
And we both like Lime is sweet.
Right.
Remember?
Even radio analysts have their busts. Vernon Gulston.
Do you feel?
It happens.
I mean, do you feel like there's some? Maybe it might just be a perception that I have in terms of, like, I watch Robert Woods and I think of him and I'm like, that's a guy I bet you the Patriots like.
Sure.
You know, he looks like a good route runner, good hands, reliable, dependable.
Kind
you
of
know,
a pro style offense.
I need my guys to be able to get open and catch the ball. You know, like, I don't necessarily need my guy to be able to average 22 yards a catch and be able to stretch the defense, because if he can't do that, he doesn't really do anything else. I look at the Patriots, you know, that way.
Yeah, but if he can do that, now I'm good. If he can't do that, at some point, I think everybody says you got to get the best of it. Well, what about need? Do you need one of those guys? Bill O'Brien said it.
It's always a mixture of both.
I don't think your mic's on.
It's always a mixture of both, said Fred.
There you go.
Chris in New Brunswick, Canada says, I've enjoyed listening to your show and often find myself yelling at you guys when you can turn your back so quickly on a guy like Wes Welker. We are looking at the draft in a few weeks, and what are we going to go after? We need a deep threat that is actually a deep threat. I wanted to say congrats to Chester in Naples, who is getting married this weekend. It's Anthony in Naples. And so am I.
Hey, congrats. Who's this? Somebody in New Brunswick?
This is Chris in New Brunswick, Canada. I enjoy your jokes about Canadian football. I agree that Canadian football is just a throwing league. There's nothing else there. I'm a Canadian, by the way, from New Brunswick, and haven't actually watched a full game of the CFL, which I call a ping pong league. All right.
Don't tell that to what's his name.
Now, do you bathe
Mark
in a river?
Trussman.
Right.
New Brunswick. That's up by Maine, right? Can you take a ferry across to there? That fast cat ferry?
All right, let's take a break, Paul.
I don't know.
I think you can
take
a break
right
now.
Do that yet.
Oh, where did he go?
I don't know. He's not in there, though.
Oh, all right, I'll read.
We're just going to run that in a permanent loop.
I'll read Sam in Chicago's email. We got a lot of emails. The last time I bought lunch, you guys ate it without thanking me on air.
That's Fred's fault. He forgets to thank people, and I always tell him, make sure you thank the buyer.
My feelings are hurt. I swore I'd never buy lunch again unless I got a free PFW T-shirt. But since
you'll get that, I promise, because I'm going to make Fred make them.
But since these coveted teas will never exist, nor will chicken parms in my name go down your gullets. Anyway, take your fried fate into your own hands. Answer these three questions correctly, and I'll buy the next lunch.
Okay, good.
I will not include the correct answers. If you get them right, I'll send a quick email saying if your next carb load will be free or not. No laptops or phone checking while you answer either.
No, we would never do
right,
that.
Right, and don't cheat, really.
This is a group activity
with individual questions for each of you, except Fred, of course. Here we go.
Oh, wait, what?
Good luck.
Because he has the answers?
Wait, we each have to answer one on our own? It's not a...
I guess. I don't know.
I need to know the rules.
Can't we just do like a combined effort?
Yeah, say like final answer.
Here's a BFF question for you. Don't break his heart. Drew Bledsoe recently celebrated a birthday on February 14th. How old was he? Paul doesn't know. He's shaking his head with a mouthful of food.
I cost us lunch. I have no idea.
I'm going to go 41.
Well, we have to have a group answer. Can we?
41, I believe, because he was in the same grade, I think, as I was in college, but I'm a year younger.
I mean, he was drafted in
93. Yeah, okay.
41 sounds good. It's definitely in the ballpark.
So our group answer is 41.
Okay. Thank you, Eric.
Andy,
which means I can blame.
Here's a Patriots Hall of Fame question. I was a bruising fullback.
Oh, you don't have the answers, or you do?
I don't have the answers.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
I was a bruising fullback who spent my entire 10-year career with the Patriots, 1973 to 82, was selected into the Patriots Hall of Fame by an online vote in 2010. I remain the Patriots' all-time leading rusher with 5,453 yards on 1,385 carries.
Bam! Bam!
Sam Bam Cunningham.
That's right.
Eric, here's a Patriots art history question.
Oh, what's his name? That guy.
I know who you're talking about, the guy. I know. Go ahead. No, let him read the question. Let him read the question.
On November 16th, 1959, Boston business executive Billy Sullivan was awarded the eighth and final franchise of the Developing American Football League. The following winter, locals were allowed to submit ideas for the Boston football team's official name. The most popular choice and the one that Sullivan selected was the Boston Patriots. Immediately thereafter, who was the Boston Globe artist that developed the Pat Patriot logo?
I know. It's that guy that we were just talking about.
I know the answer.
Phil Bissell.
There you go.
One more question.
So that's it. We got two out of three.
Wait, what?
Well, we think we got two out of three.
Wait, what? We got three out of three.
Well, we don't know the third.
Cunningham,
one.
Bissell, and... Oh, 41 is
41
it down.
We don't know yet. We know we got two out of three.
But lunch on Thursday.
Hang on. I'll check the Bledsoe thing right now.
All right.
Wiki.
All right, so now let's take a break, Kevin. We'll come back. Lots of emails. Phone calls, more on PFW in progress.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
right,
they
yes,
do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Back on PFW in progress as Fred Kirsch shoves down half of his roast beef sub.
He caught me mid-mouthful. So,
wouldn't be the first time.
You know, we only have like what 3 minutes to eat a large sub.
I don't know.
So
I got it done.
It's tough.
Fatty over there got it done. He swallowed the full 12.
All right. Webradio at pages.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's do a little phone work here. We got Eldridge in North Carolina, followed by Dave in Norton, Mass. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I heard you, it was Kruger and Welker, as he put it, on the line together.
Yeah, yeah, see, you did say that.
Yes, you did say it. Yes, you did. But I got a questions about the receivers we got.
He can't defend himself. He's got a mouthful again.
Okay, I'll wait to him, but he did say that, though.
Yeah. No, we believe it.
Then I misspoke. I mean, you know.
It happens.
Yeah.
But it seemed like you were thinking of a Ravens defensive lineman who made him better.
No, I thought maybe you were talking about sucks.
What I meant to say is that Paul Kruger could have been the beneficiary of having a great defense around him, whereas Ninkovich kind of, you know, didn't.
Maybe, you know, it was a subliminal thing where he was thinking Welker was only aided because he had talent around
him. Didn't the Patriots statistically have a better defense than the Ravens last year?
I'm talking about what you guys think.
I think both teams had bad defenses last year. So
yeah, but they had somebody to rush the pass more than we did. You know what I mean?
Now they have two of them somebodies.
Yeah. But getting back to the receiver question, ain't y'all tired of this? Like, you got to have somebody to stretch the field because we've had, what, 3 or 4 years of somebody that couldn't stretch the field, winning lots of Super Bowls and playoff games because the guys couldn't get open, couldn't break leads, couldn't stretch it, and they clamped down on the short intermediate passing game. So Jenkins, I can understand why we got Jenkins. You know, he's slow. When you got Haywood Bay still out there, I would have Robinson or Nick better than I would have Jenkins. So at least they could stretch the field and give defense something to think about. While Gronk and Hernandez, and if Amendola lives up to it, could stretch, you know, the middle of the field. That's what I would rather really have. But what y'all think?
Who's Robinson?
Yeah. I'm not sure I know who all the guys are.
Robinson used to play with the Cowboys.
Laurent Robinson?
Yeah, you can have him.
Yeah. Hey, he's a whole lot better than Jenkins.
Nah, well, 6'1", half dozen the other to me. Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to take a shot at him, I mean, I know he's dealing with some concussion problems too, I believe.
Now, the only argument would be like what you said. I'd rather, if they're going to throw something at the wall, throw three fast guys at the wall and see if any of them stick.
Hope one sticks, but I'm not sure he's that guy. I'm not sure Loren Robinson is.
I don't think Jenkins is that guy.
Jenkins is not that guy. No, right. You are right about that, Eldridge. He is a possession guy.
Are any of these guys we have that guy?
Possession
Well, I don't know.
I mean, if we're talking literally about just throw, and Kamar Aiken, or
I don't know anything. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about those guys. I didn't. We didn't even get to see them practice.
Right, but I'm just wondering if you know, shot in the dark, lightning strikes type hope.
Yeah, they're all the same. They possession receivers. You know.
So you're on board. Second round pick. We want a deep threat. Terrence Williams. Woo.
No. I want Rodgers from Tennessee. Because he's considered
State
big
or one of those.
Martin. He can run with anchor run.
Is that the problem, child?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He went from Tennessee to Tennessee Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's predicted in the fifth or sixth round.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he's big. He's
physical. Let's make some moves to get them.
And in
we don't have any of those
years,
picks.
He'll be doing 3 to 5 in the state pen.
I don't think so. And then he had a good pro day with Patterson. Matter of fact, they say he's a little bit better than Patterson.
Oh, no, his talent is
not the issue.
Not an argument. It's does he have a head on his shoulders? Does he have a drug problem? You know, as Tyrann Mathieu said, there's weed in the NFL. So you're going to have to deal with that.
All right, thanks, Eldridge, for the call. Let's go to Dave in Norton, Mass. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
My question is about the Pat's secondary. I was wondering, I like Denard and Tlaib, but I think after, and I love the pickup of Wilson. I think he's a stud. I like him more than Reed personally. I don't know what you guys think of him. I think he brings just as much leadership presence as Reed was going to bring, and is way more of a hard-hitting presence. But I don't think after him, they don't really have anyone. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the wild card's Tavon Wilson. You know, you drafted him in the second round, and he's big, athletic, former corner. I mean, on paper, there's a lot to like about him, but it depends what he does in the big Paul Perillo year two jump.
I like them. I mean, he's a veteran guy with good experience that can help this secondary.
Gregory to the mix, and
I think they're a little bit better than they were.
I'm happy with the safety mix right now.
Yeah.
Well, they've certainly come a long way in 2 years.
Yeah.
If you remember 2 years ago when they didn't have a safety, they had Sergio Brown, Matthew Slade. I mean, it was Jag City USA every week rotating.
And getting rid of Chung, upgrading with Wilson is a good move.
But
I don't understand how Gregory is an upgrade, though. I'm surprised he's on the team personally.
Well, right now he's just part of the mix.
Well,
he's,
I mean, if we're going to go by just last year, Adrian Wilson was a part-time player, so I'm not sure that that's an upgrade either. But we'll have to see what happens when they're here in New England and on the practice field. I agree with Andy. I think Tavon Wilson is a guy that needs to have some development here, and I think he could have a bigger role next year. Now, if he can't, if the year two jump is overrated and he doesn't make it and just is what he is, then I agree that I don't think you're all that much better. Because
you certainly don't have a future.
And Adrian Wilson, he's to the point now where he's basically a part-time player. He comes off the field a lot in obvious passing situations. I'm not sure that that helps you a lot. You know, and that, now you're back to, as Dave says, Steve Gregory, who was pretty inconsistent last year next to McCourty, who seemed to be better at safety than corner. If you don't get anything out of Tavon Wilson and Adrian Wilson is just a part-time player, I'm not sure you've improved.
By the way, the spin out now on Adrian Wilson is that it was a intentional thing moving on. It had nothing to do with him or something. Adrian Wilson, they wanted to go younger and this and that, and it had nothing to do with him.
Right. No, I'm sure it didn't. I mean, I think that the leadership stuff and the veteran presence and all that, I think is entirely accurate with Adrian Wilson.
No, I'm talking about playing.
Yeah.
Well, don't tell me if the guy's better, you're playing somebody who's not better.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
Don't tell me that it was a plan and you chose to not be as good on the field. I like to think coaches make a decision based on putting their best 11 on the field at any one time.
Yeah.
And they didn't feel he was among their best 11, certainly not late in the year in passing situations.
All right. Thanks, Dave, for the call. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Connor in New Hampshire writes in. He says, I just had an idea for something that could be done to extract revenge from Wes Welker next year when he and the Broncos visit Foxborough.
Break his knee.
While looking over the photos from this year's games, I noticed that a couple featured fans in the stands holding signs that said things like,
Excuse me.
I heart the Patriots from the Miami game. the week before the Broncos game, the Pro Shop put a huge sign on Danny Amendola jerseys. Then when fans arrived at the game, all would be given a sign to hold up that said, Wes who? I think that it would put an increasingly bitter rivalry on steroids while rekindling talk of a Patriots-Broncos AFC title game. I think it would be a great stunt. What are your thoughts? No.
And Fred knows bad ideas when he sees them.
Fred dismissing it is out of hand.
I mean, why are we mad at Wes Welker?
Well, I didn't understand why we were needing revenge on Wes Welker.
Yeah.
He left. He's not one of us anymore.
But
you're either with us or you're against us.
Well, no, but that's answering the question, why am I not rooting for Wes Welker anymore? Because he's no longer with us. But why do we have to seek revenge on him?
Because he left.
And wouldn't holding up signs say Wes who kind of motivate him to, you know, kind of...
Yeah, I'd be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I think, Wes who?
He's going to do damage.
Oh, Wes who? Wes this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
also, on the subject of jerseys...
Wes he can.
Now the guy's so bad, he can't even catch passes against the Patriots
He'll catch passes.
He won't make any plays against the Patriots secondary, who makes everybody look good.
No, he'll catch passes. I think he'll have a solid year in Denver.
143 receptions this year.
I mean, I'm not going to the theater of the absurd, but I think he'll catch.
Wait a minute. The guy averages like 120. Why is a little boost in the light air of Denver absurd?
He's not going to get 140.
I love how I bring the air into it.
He goes 25 more catches. Why is that absurd?
No, I said 20.
143, you said.
Yeah, and he's had 120 more. Multiple times.
It's still 23 more.
Yeah, not 25. That'd be ridiculous.
Can't get anywhere close to that. On the subject of jerseys, say that Dante Hightower has 18 sacks and 5 interceptions, 3 of which are returned for touchdowns.
I apologize, Andy. You were not the theater of the absurd.
Would some fans still be reluctant to buy his jersey since he wears the sacred number 54 and fans wouldn't want a 54 jersey with a name other than Brewski on it?
Paul, I can't hear you. Turn your mic on.
Is that a thing?
I didn't know that was a thing. Are people mad
that people
he's
mad
54?
That Hightower is 54? You can't wear the sacred 54?
I haven't heard that.
Well,
I think they were mad that he didn't live up to the hype.
But I think some of these people, like the emailer, they might be more in tune with what people are saying, because we're not in the stands.
With the crazy fans.
Well, yeah. I wonder if there is a movement out there.
If he has 18 sacks, they'll buy his jersey.
Well, obviously.
Maybe somebody on PatsFans.com can tell us if anyone started a
thread.
Yeah,
is that a problem? Were people upset when Hightower was issued 54? Were they upset when Brian Waters was 54 the year before that? I wonder.
No, he went to
the
Pro Bowl.
They didn't buy Waters' shirt.
Yeah.
He's a Pro Bowler.
He was a Pro Bowl guard, and they didn't buy his shirt.
Alonzo writes in, great work as usual. Here's a crazy thought. What do you think about bringing back Richard Seymour or maybe Tommy Kelly? Everyone knows Belichick loves big defensive tackles, and those two have been very productive in their entire career. I know they are on the final years of their pro career, but they are still very productive, although Seymour is practically impossible. Thoughts?
What is that?
Tommy Kelly
impossible?
Was released, yeah. So he's out there.
I know what his health status is.
I don't know.
I'll look that up.
No interest in Kelly. I would definitely take Seymour back. But I agree, it's probably a long shot.
I'd like to move on.
It's probably a long shot, but I think that you could
get some new talent.
I think you're talking a lot about this, and Richard Seymour is not a pure pass rusher, but everybody's talked a lot about getting an interior guy that can create pressure. I think Seymour's been able to do that throughout his career. As not a prototypical end.
What did they run in Oakland?
Both.
Multiple. They were multiple.
Were they predominantly one or the other?
We can't hear you on the mic.
I believe both in his time there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Alex from Philly, I can't believe Andy missed this last show during the free agency draft debate when Paul said, instead of filling 4 holes, I could just fill 1 hole and would be willing to extend a little more to fill that hole. Even I was laughing when I heard that and was sure Andy was going to jump all over it. Anyway, I wanted to clarify something in my last email that confused Fred. When I said that I was frustrated with free agency, Fred seemed to take it as I wasn't happy with the amount of money we spent and fired back with his typical who has it better than us argument.
Yeah.
I'm not frustrated with how much...
Tiresome at this point.
But true. I'm not frustrated with how much they spent. I'm frustrated with where they are spending it and who they are spending it on. It seems like because we have Brady, they don't feel they need to get top talent at the skill positions because Brady can make them better. I've always complained that Brady is the only elite quarterback who has never had elite wide receivers to throw to, which partly makes him that much greater and also makes me wonder, what if he had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison instead of Deion Branch and David Gibbons?
Well, I would consider them not elite if we're not considering Randy Moss elite.
This constant need for Bill to always find the diamond in the rough is starting to annoy me. Whether it's free agency or the draft, he always wants the guy in the lower rounds or another team's cast-offs with hidden talent. I don't want guys with hidden talent. I want guys whose talent is known to everybody because he's great. Lastly, when I mention free agency, I usually lump in the draft with that too, which is a mistake. From now on, I will say that I am frustrated with the off-season moves. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth to what he's saying, but I don't think it's as black and white as that. I mean, people try to simplify the whole free agent philosophy of the Patriots, and I just don't I don't think it's as easy to do as that. I don't think you can put it in a little pack and say they don't target elite talent because they have Brady. I mean, first of all, they've had elite wide receivers. I mean, Randy Moss and Wes Welker were in their time with the Patriots. Listen, I was as big a Welker detractor as there was, but you can't argue with what he did. He was a Pro Bowl receiver for multiple years in his 6 years in New England, and Randy Moss turned in the single greatest touchdown reception season in the history of the league. So you can't say that they didn't have elite receivers when Brady was here. I mean, do you agree with that, Fred?
Yeah, sure.
And now they have, you know, one tight end who is the best in the business and another tight end who can, you know, is considered to be a very versatile, dangerous weapon in the passing game. You know, this whole, you know, he doesn't have any way. You know, that may have been true back in like 2003. It's not true anymore.
Tony,
just a quick update on Tommy Kelly, 32.
Yeah.
Near as I can tell, he's played every game the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think so.
And had 7 sacks in 11, 7 in 2010, went down to 1 last year.
All right. I don't know. Last year on the Raiders, they kind of gave up. It's like looking at last year of Randy Moss with the Raiders. You know, it's like, you know, do you really count that? And then he comes here and just blows away the league.
We're talking about Tommy Kelly or Randy Moss.
But you know what?
Randy Moss did do
that.
When
you're on a team like that, it's like,
Yeah, but if you're playing, well.
He certainly would seem to be a guy that they would kick the tires on in there.
Yeah.
Lusting for big body tackles who can collapse the pocket a little bit.
Tony says, please stop. Let's stop the fan bashing. Maybe around a month ago, a guy named Tyrone called in. The first time I heard him was on Patriots Playbook. Anyway, the guy was talking about Jordan. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think you could tell that by the way the guy was speaking, you could tell he was a foreigner.
No, actually, he's an American.
Yeah, I mean, what American hasn't watched Jordan? This guy was expressing his love for the athletes in USA and astonished by Mike. A little bit later in the show, someone bashed him for not being very well-spoken, and I haven't heard the guy calling since. This person has chased away your fan and possibly a 3-year subscription. I believe that in order to enjoy PFW for years to come, we have to stop the fan bashing.
Shut up,
it's taking away listeners, but two questions. Have you heard anything about Revis?
Yeah, no, Tyrone is
just one question.
Tyrone is a very
loyal. You must be a foreigner. You can't count.
Right? Tyrone's a very loyal fan.
And I don't remember us bashing him.
No, I don't either. But
I remember bashing the idea. He wanted to know if, like, he wanted to know if there were any Patriots who were.
Like Jordan?
Isn't that the question?
I don't remember it specifically bashing. I'm sure we did because that's what we do. But, you know, we love Tyrone. He calls all the time.
That's what boys do when they talk sports. They make fun of each other.
Yeah, I mean, God, if Andy and I did that to each other, we'd never speak to each other. Because we always disagree with the other. And
if I lived up to the old adage of, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, I'd be a monk.
Let's see. Hot Rod in Atlanta says, hey, Big Head, good thing you changed the helmet to Gronk because a Welker helmet is only worth loose change.
See, I actually thought, I mean, doesn't the Welker helmet become a collectible? Now you have a finite
number. The urgency of getting it?
Yeah. Whereas Gronk, ideally for the next decade, will be here and giving out many helmets and because he's very open with autographs. He's a nice guy.
Maybe the emailer was right a few emailers ago. And, you know, he's gone. He's dead.
You.
He's dead to us now, and we need the revenge. You know, people don't want any part of that mini Welker helmet.
Well, if you want a Gronk helmet, check my timeline. Feel free to donate.
Yeah, I
Thanks.
Mean, listen, I don't think fans.
Well, Gronk is a better get because
if
obviously he continues
Gronk.
On any type of path, like he's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas we're arguing whether Welker may. I mean, they're both at a pretty high level, but I just think Gronk, for a lot of reasons, is going to go down as a bigger celebrity personality and probably a greater player.
But I also think the fans, you know, how they feel, that's how they feel. I mean, I don't think I would feel that we needed to get revenge against Welker. But I'm not telling other guys how they should feel. I mean, if they feel like they were betrayed in some way because they rooted for this guy for 6 years and he left for basically the same contract reportedly that the Patriots were offering, I could see, you know, to each his own. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know a lot of times we like to tell people who they should boo and who they should cheer for. And, you know, when you're on these talk radio shows, I don't get that.
You know?
I mean, if you're a fan, you know, if you want to hate Johnny Damon for going to the Yankees, hate Johnny Damon.
Yeah.
But I think Welker's going to err on the side of booing because,
really?
A, he never won, and B, some people hold drops against him. He has, like, a little undercurrent of distaste.
So a lot of people do that. A lot of people feel that way.
Whereas, like Adam or Dame, you know, guys that won titles for the city, there's that little special part
in
your heart.
I think there is that undercurrent of people who remember the drops, but I think the vast majority will cheer Welker.
I hope so.
We'll see. That can be a great topic of debate for the Patriots pregame social.
Whenever somebody comes back, will they boo or cheer? You know, that's the big.
But the part that I don't get is when we tell them what they should do. And when I say we, I mean, you know, as talk show hosts, and that happens throughout the city, all the time.
Yeah.
You know, every time a guy
comes
back.
When Dan Ross comes back to Northeastern, do they boo or cheer him?
The late Dan Ross, that's good.
Oh, he died?
Yeah.
Really? And Reggie Lewis?
Yeah.
What's going on with these
alums? They got a cocaine problem.
Yeah, I guess.
Did Dan Ross do coke?
No.
Oh. Well, you don't think Reggie Lewis did?
No, but Dan Ross didn't.
I didn't know that Dan Ross died. How did he die?
Heart attack.
Wow.
While jogging.
Better watch out for what's his name? The home run hitter of the baseball.
Carlos Peña.
Carlos Peña, better watch out. He's next to
go. I don't even know what team he's on this year. Did he get picked up by anybody?
I'm sure he'll hit 210 with 25 home runs.
I'll tell you, Tampa Bay made a bad move, though. I mean, you might as well have him hitting 25 homers for you. They put James Loney at first base?
He's on a bad team.
That's
terrible. He might be on
Houston. Ooh, Peña?
Yeah.
Ooh, that could be good for him.
He's the highest paid player on some low payroll team.
I don't think it'll be Houston.
Ed says, I was listening, and you didn't say Fred Welker was across from him on the defensive line. Rerun the show later to hear it.
He definitely.
I don't think I did.
I know you said Kruger, and he had Welker, or something like that.
No, I said.
Welker was like three words away.
No, I was saying beneficiary.
Yeah. Welker.
Of Welker on the line.
And beneficiary don't sound the same. Welker.
A beneficiary of Welker on
the
line.
The guy who doesn't know how to say Welker heard you say Welker.
Well, that was obviously a misstatement, but I don't remember.
See, now we love Eldridge, and he calls all the time.
That's right.
See, that's what we do.
Yeah,
we tease.
I
we have fun.
I don't think I said
these are
Welker.
Our family. You know, this is the
we are a big PFW family.
JD writes in, would Edelman re-enter the draft or come back to the Patriots for the league minimum and ability to continue his Female Fridays on Twitter? What a tool. Honestly, I hope he comes back, but not for very much. Does Amendola return punts? Could Emmanuel Sanders?
Am I the only one that thought that was sort of a foregone conclusion that he would be back?
Well, Edelman?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's foregone.
Yeah, I kind of did too.
I think he'll be back, but...
I'm surprised he's not here already.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that he didn't re-sign. I didn't think he would get much interest league-wide.
Andy says, I'm pretty sure Fred said Ninkovich only had Welker to help him. I think he meant Wilfork. If that's the case, that's what I was thinking. I said Wilfork.
Well, then why didn't you
but
just
you
tell us?
Welker.
You said Welker.
Okay. You absolutely
we
said
asked
Welker.
You who you meant, and you said
I knew
nobody.
I knew that you said it by accident, but I didn't know who.
No, because I remember saying
possibly who
Ninkovich
you
didn't have
about.
Anybody to help him, and I said, well... He had Wilfork, but I might have said Welker.
If we had a real producer, we'd play it back.
Yeah, where'd he go? He's gone again.
He's in that other room with those other people.
Who's the other people?
I think it's the high school ESPN podcast or whatever.
Amateurs.
I met Aqib Talib on Friday night. He was pretty cool and excited to be back in New England.
Yeah,
and no,
man.
Andy, when I met Gronk a few weeks back, it was not BB Jones that he was with. Another woman whose tatas were falling out of her dress.
God bless her. Did Aqib Talib had that massive, thing has like a lion's face in gold?
Oh,
on
medallion?
Pendant, medallion, whatever.
Mike in Nashville has some interesting
That's
facts
right,
about
Paul.
what it means to be a pro track runner.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorite little tangents, by the way.
Crossing over from show to show to show.
How we've gotten so many people to comment on what it
mileage.
Means to be a pro track guy.
The story has legs,
I'm not even
if
sure.
you will.
I see what you did there. I'm not even sure pro track knew they had this many people who were mildly interested in pro track.
Mike is in Nashville, Tennessee. He says, I believe it was Paul who pondered the income of the 64th best golfer in the world last year. The 64th best player on the PGA Tour listed about $1.4 million on the course and probably another $600K. or so in endorsements.
So divide that by 1,000, and that's what the 64th best runner would get.
Public information about the income of track athletes is somewhat limited, but from what I can gather,
so
it seems fair to conclude that if you are not in the top 10 in the world at your event, then your chances of earning six-figure incomes are very slim. Mm. In addition to the fact that the real money in track appears to be in shoe contracts rather than event earnings, lucrative endorsements are largely based on potential future performance over previous history. It is not unusual for both Olympic and World Champ finalists in key events to not get re-signed by their company the following year. Mm. And from a strictly financial standpoint, the NFL seems to be the clear choice for Demps. That being said, if he's ever to establish a lucrative track career, then he needs to pursue it right now. I wouldn't rule out the possibility that Demps is using the NFL to generate hype in the hopes that the combination of name recognition and decent performance on the track circuit will entice some sponsors.
Don't you think that's something to do with it?
That's kind of a smart business move, then, if he really wants to do track.
Yeah, don't you think his heart is
that
in track?
That pisses me off.
Yeah.
Oh, Fred.
Boo! Fred. I'm booing that. Boo!
Next time you're at a pro track event, boo, Jeff Dice.
I'm 100% with you in Andy's defense. I think believe that was sort of part of your reasoning right away when we found out that he was interested in spending this offseason doing track. Andy, I think you put up on the blog right away something about, I don't know if you wrote specifically, but.
Go bleep yourself?
Yeah, it was okay that we paid you to be on IR for a year. And basically what we did was we funded your track preparation. I mean, it seems clear that his heart is in track. No harm, no foul, but I do think he's using the NFL and
boo!
Unfortunately,
and you know why he's doing that?
Booing and hissing.
Because he's a Jag.
Because he's not that good at track.
He's a Jet.
Just a track guy?
Just another track.
And Mike
guy?
Says,
Jar.
Does the signing of Leon Washington presumably spell the end for Demps?
I think Demps,
Spelled the
M
for Demps.
Yes.
Right.
Now, when did they sign Washington, before or after Demps said, I want to play track?
I think it was.
I think the Demps stuff was out there right away.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. It was out there right away. But they, you know, I think they clearly wanted to upgrade their kick return anyway, and they couldn't rely on Demps.
I thought they were in the top 10 in return yards. That's what Edelman told me last year when he got pissy with me.
Yeah.
Female Friday. He's appropriate for that because he's a bitch.
Tim in Cambridge writes in, third
he'll never
time
hear this.
Email.
He's not on the Patriots he'll right now. I'm this. Allowed to say it. If he were on the Patriots, I'd get in trouble.
Tim in Cambridge is the third.
Sorry, Fred.
Tim in Cambridge is a third time emailer. Every year around draft time, I make sure to grab the PFW draft preview issue as it's the best around.
Next week.
This year, I'm having trouble finding it on newsstands in Boston. Do any of you or an informed listener know where I can find PFW for sale in Boston?
On newsstands in Boston next week.
Well, last month was probably sold out, but next Wednesday.
Or buried under 25 other papers.
April 10th.
Next Wednesday.
Pretty much anywhere you can find USA Today in Boston.
We are working feverishly on that project as we speak.
Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, it will be on newsstands in Boston.
See, that infield guy did go to USC. Yeah. Mm. So much for his integrity.
I would have said screw integrity, too.
Oh, God.
Let me see, a million plus or 150K?
I believe he's making 10 times. Yeah, 10 times the amount that he was making.
Wow.
Robin
one
Alaska
spot to
says,
another, too.
It's kind of like comparing playing the NFL with running track.
Robin in Alaska has a few topics, slots, soap, and hot rod. slots, are Belichick and McDaniels such mad geniuses that they will use an offense this year consisting of only slot receivers? No one lines up wide ever. Could it be done? Personnel-wise, the team looks stacked to do this.
Someone
wicked stacked.
Yeah, somebody would have to be outside.
Technically speaking, someone's always wide.
Yeah.
You could stack them.
No, but somebody would be wide.
Soap, until you guys rediscussed soap with a slot last week.
That's a solid five. That's solid right there. No, technically someone's wide.
I had
stack them. No, someone's wide.
I had always assumed that the topic originally came up one day when Fred went off the shelf and said something like, you know what I like to do in the shower? So thanks for shattering that hilarity with the truth that Fred is just frugal. I suppose you'll now tell me that Fred's desire for a nut wizard isn't as extravagant a quest as I have thought either.
Nope.
But he has one of those.
He does
now.
Have a nut wizard, though.
Yeah, one of our callers was nice enough to send me both the large and small versions.
Because he didn't know what kind of nuts
James.
You had.
But ironically,
he didn't know how big your nuts were.
Yeah, ironically, it was like I hardly had any acorns this year.
I haven't either. Nothing.
It wasn't a good year for acorns.
No. Some years it's like the yard is like, it's like marbles all over the yard.
But
so
as a result, I didn't have a rodent problem this year. There weren't a lot of mice or squirrels or chipmunks, moles this
year. Yeah, I have a lot of moles in my yard.
Yeah, but not this year. I didn't have them because there wasn't a lot of food.
Walk through my backyard, all of a sudden my foot goes through the grass.
Because, a sinkhole?
No, I mean, I have moles. They have like created all these little tunnels
underneath. North Providence was swallowed.
Yeah, good story.
I think he's in a sob. I don't know.
Yeah, I drive my car in the backyard.
Reports
all the
are
time.
There was no one in the bed with him.
crap, scary now. Though.
Go screw yourself, really.
Why do you have to go there?
Why, we don't have sinkholes around here, do we?
That's not what he was talking about.
No, Paul said that was scary.
No, I said it's scary, that stuff.
We have nothing
scary
around
that just
here.
Pop up out of nowhere.
In
there
Florida,
was one
they got them. Yeah.
Well, there was one in a parking lot that just came out of nowhere, too. I forget where. Just a couple of weeks ago.
Here?
I forget. I don't know where it was.
Good story.
No, I just think it's weird the way the earth just opens up.
But it's Florida. Well, everything is
anywhere.
Like built up on sand and used to be marsh, and they covered it up, and it's all industrialized, and, you know, these communities were built on crap. That's why you don't go to Florida. Florida sucks.
This river is running.
Not like the Back
the
Bay or anything. That's not filled. Yeah.
Well,
that couldn't happen anywhere.
That's a separate issue. But if you just have a normal house on a place that was once a farm 500 years ago, I think you're pretty safe.
Like you.
Yes.
Right.
Thanks.
That's why. Plus, that's why he moved so far away from everybody because he wanted steady, solid ground.
If you have a
terra firma
in one part of your land, you just move to another part of it. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do want to.
Is it true that the weather is different on different parts of your land?
Shut up. Is it true you're a moron?
I like when he goes, is it true? That...
Hot Rod, this is another topic. In my opinion, only Brady and Brewski get automatic induction into the Patriots Hall of Fame over Rodney Harrison. I think Rodney can be passionately argued over anyone else from the championship era.
Troy Brown.
Even that horseshoe-wearing Benedict Arnold on the Colts. Wow, Vinatieri. This last
Vinatieri
was for Paul.
Yeah.
Why you hate
both?
That's
NFL
why you hate
and
fans,
Patriots.
Huh? Seriously, though, Adam is great and
that's
should get
why
it
I
too.
Hate fans.
Yeah,
I don't. What does that mean?
If he doesn't someone hate him, he just calls him stupid.
Oh, but that's not why I hate fans.
If someone called Vinatieri a traitor, Benedict Arnold, would you hate? Would you think they're stupid?
No,
for saying that.
No, I can understand. Basically, it's the same thing with Welker. I can understand. I don't personally feel that way, but I can understand why a fan would say that. I could totally get that. Vinatieri had an opportunity to come back. I don't personally blame him.
So it's like if a kid transferred from Northeastern to BU, you would like hate
to me
him.
When I
hate
no when I said that I don't. To me, if you hate a guy who the Patriots just decided to let go, they didn't want him. Like if you hate like Richard Seymour, I don't really understand why you would hate Richard Seymour. They traded him,
right?
You know, it's not like he said I want out of here.
Right.
He did try to kill Tom Brady early on in that game when they played.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh
like
God.
I don't get like that. That's not
NFL Network has this commercial on with Dolphins cheerleaders that is just
great.
Ridiculous.
It is great. Slow motion,
jiggle motion.
Yeah, but Adam Vinatieri had an opportunity to come back. Wes Welker had an opportunity to come back. I don't particularly hold anything against guys for signing contracts, but I can understand why that emailer would feel that way. You feel that way about Adam?
No.
Oh, you did.
I'm fine with Adam.
Well, now,
yeah.
100 years later.
With him, it all quiets down, like with Lawyer.
You know, in 06, when the Colts won the Super Bowl, you weren't so fine with Adam.
I could care less.
Oh, yeah.
You could care less, or you couldn't?
So he's a Patriots Hall of Famer, yes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
God, yes.
Yeah, you got to put Adam in.
He built the damn museum.
You know.
He's got his own dome in there.
He's got the greatest kick in history, and it led to winning a Super Bowl. So
yeah, I mean.
I think you got to put him in.
He has the greatest kick in history and two game-winning Super Bowl kicks.
Right. Paul, you don't think so? No.
Oh, Adam's automatic.
Yeah.
How many automatics are there? Guys that are surefire, nothing else needs to be done, they're already in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Oh. We've said Brewski.
Brewski,
Brady,
Vinatieri.
Vinatieri.
Yeah,
Vinatieri. Law?
I think you have to.
For all that
Harrison?
He did?
I think Harrison can be debated because of the term.
So no.
Because of the length of time.
McGinnis?
Term.
McGinnis certainly has length of time on his side.
Yeah, see, now that's the opposite.
I think Rodney is much more of a candidate than McGinnis, but I think they're both Patriots Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
So that's seven.
I can't believe I have to go to that thing.
Welker?
Thursday.
You said no, right?
I think it's debatable.
Yes. It's not debatable. He should be in.
Okay.
I think if one guy says it's debatable, it's debatable.
That's debatable.
Who else? Vrabel?
Yes. Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah. I think he's a lock. Yeah, I think he's so. Ahead of some guys you guys absolutely said as a lock. So that's seven lock Hall of Famers.
I don't know.
Molloy?
Molloy, eight. Falk, nine. Brown, Falk? 10.
Bron's in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Molloy, that's a tough one.
Kevin Falk.
Bill Belichick.
Kevin Falk, yes.
Scott Pioli. Wow, Paul laughed. The man built a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Certainly Belichick, without question.
You know, player-wise, yeah.
So that's 11 we're up to as lock Hall of Famers. Ted Johnson?
No.
Vince Wilfork?
Yes.
Richard Seymour?
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Wait a minute.
Richard Seymour is no? Richard Seymour is no.
No, I was thinking Wilfork.
Are we just
going to
put
no.
everybody on those teams in?
I'm asking you.
I'm only putting the All-Pros.
Or the All-Pros.
The multiple All-Pros, they need to go.
But all those guys.
Matt Light.
Except for Kevin Falk, and he's going to get in without question.
Matt Light. Now we're up to 13,
right.
Guaranteed.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But I think they're all worthy.
But you know what? That takes you through a lot of the years when maybe there won't be that many.
Right.
True.
This is the post-Brady era.
Yeah. True. They can start building
They can start building again.
Crop.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think those are
That's
all
why it's
legitimate.
Good that it's only one at a time.
Right. And then you'll have a few random ones maybe. I don't know. Because you're still going to get Parcells in.
Right.
I still think Chuck Fairbanks should be in. So there's a few.
How about Ray Berry?
Nah,
not long enough?
Nah. Paul just left.
He really did. He just gets up and leaves.
Well, bathroom break.
Yeah. But he's going to come back and just slam his nominees for the Hall of Fame down on the table. Nathan writes in from Southern Cal. Can you comment if there is any news about us signing Abraham or any other pass rushers? Also, can you talk about Jenkins? We did already. When I heard we signed a wide receiver, I thought, great. Who the hell is Mike Jenkins?
No, I thought we were signing cornerback Michael Jenkins from the Cowboys.
Be interested if you have any other prospects on wide receiver or pass rusher that we might acquire through free agency or trade.
I'm done with the free agent wide receivers. Got to think about the draft.
I do think it's sort of close to time to turn the page to the draft for wide receivers. I mean, you can have these Jags that may or may not make the team, but I don't really have much hope that they're going to be impact players. Now I'm saying, okay, I want the cocky impact second-round pick who's going to be the receiver that I lust after until he is inactive 15 straight weeks.
So no Richard Seymour, huh?
We already said you went to the bathroom, so don't pretend you were here all the time.
No, I'm astounded by that. I'm not trying to pretend I was here
left,
the whole time.
Even though they made him leave.
they traded him.
So we were around 13 for the
Yeah, I don't have as many locks as you guys do, but I believe that they all of those guys will get in. That's why I was talking about how.
But we named 13 guys.
Yeah.
Well, by lock, I mean eventually they'll get in.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
I don't
all
think
first
they all
ballot.
Should be
not
in
first ballot,
but they are going to be.
Who shouldn't be in that we listed?
There's a lot of guys that I don't think McGinnis, Matt Light. There's a lot of guys. They were good players on good teams.
K. Falk,
decade-long franchise All-Pro left tackle.
Franchise All-Pro left tackle.
Well, it was the best team
decade
in football.
Long.
He was there the whole time, and he was an All-Pro.
Once.
Yeah.
Didn't he? But you just called him a decade-long All-Pro.
Decade-long franchise left tackle who was an All-Pro. So it's not even like he just started for 10 years and really was. Like,
no,
Sam Baker could start for a decade in Atlanta, but unless he's an All-Pro, there's a separation.
Yeah. Matt Light's a better player than Sam Baker. I'm not trying to say that he's just like a stiff. I mean, Matt Light's a good, solid,
a four-time
good, solid
Pro
player.
Bowler-ish.
Yeah, listen, he's going to get in. Nothing to worry about.
I'm not worried about it. I really could care less.
But I know what Fred's point is.
Is
every one of these guys that basically started for 5 years or more and was part of those champions, are they all just going to get in?
No, but who's 5 years? I mean, Light was a decade.
No, I'm saying at least 5 years.
And then the other guys who are shorter term, I think, are better players, like Rodney.
But are we making the argument, though, that throughout this decade it wasn't just Brady and Belichick? I mean, that there were some really good players on this team.
And that's why they haven't won since the really good players left.
And that's why they won.
Vrabel and Harrison and Law and all those guys left, and you haven't won since. You haven't gotten over the top. You haven't made key plays. Yeah, I think we've learned that those defensive players
especially.
But
you need more than just Brady and Belichick.
Right.
Okay.
But Brady and Belichick's enough to keep you in the conversation.
Right.
So.
I don't know. Are we, is this an argument?
I'm trying to start one, but I don't know if I have any takers.
Well, no. We all say you win the AFC East by default. Like, you're not really competing. You know, there's no competition there. You automatically have your 5 wins a year, maybe 6, and you win the division, and so you're in the playoffs. But that doesn't necessarily mean you automatically advance to the next round of the playoffs, win road playoff games, go to an AFC title game and lose, go to a Super Bowl and lose. You know, you can't blame all that on, well, they play in the AFC East, it's not fair. Well, no, because they've done all of that in that time frame. I mean, even the times they came up short or even the times where it was a little kooky, you went to San Diego and you came away a winner, right? I mean, you won a playoff game. Sure. Is that because you play the Bills in the regular season? So you automatically get to – you were on the road in the playoffs and you pulled off a victory. And, you know, you hosted teams that are supposed to be good and you beat them. You know, the Texans are supposed to be good. Okay, they play in a different division than you. So even though I do think they start the season with an advantage because of the division – a lot of times they take advantage of the advantage that's given to them by winning in the postseason, right? So that's not
– okay. Dan the Byman writes in, Andy, please don't be ignorant. To be able to run for USA even in the qualifying round should be called an Olympian. I don't see the U.S. calling
– Whoa. Who said I didn't call him an Olympian?
I don't see the U.S. calling on you to run a marathon or even lifting. How do you rank yourself? So stop calling Demps
less
a Jag.
Than Jag.
While I agree there's less money in track in general, his time – can improve. He may be much faster than now. Now back to the draft.
I doubt it. First of all, he's always going to be short.
I heard you guys just mention like Margus Hunt. Is it Magnus or Margus?
Margus.
I've heard some people say Magnus.
No.
Yeah, I think it should be Magnus. Because all those guys are Magnus von Magnus or whatever.
Right. Magnuson.
But he's Margus.
Right. Margus Hunt. So then they're going to start calling him Margie. It's not good.
They call him the Eastern Block, and he does block a lot of kicks. I saw
After watching the highlight, I was very excited that we might get a J.J. Watt-like pass rusher. However, after reviewing a couple of game highlights, I'm not so sure anymore. The guy is too thin in lack of serious strength when he meets a strong tackle, and he can't really disengage from the blockers, but he has potential. He is so fast for his length. If he starts moving, it would be hard for blockers to catch on. Oftentimes, you see him standing when it's in play. But overall, I'm not high in him and not worth the first pick.
Jason Taylor was pretty thin, too. So just because you're thin doesn't mean you can't play the position.
But he's a generational talent, and he certainly was quicker. The thing I would say is I'm not sure J.J. Watt was as big and as strong as he is now when he arrived.
He learned
NFL.
That when
funny
he got
how
the
that
NFL.
Works.
I'm just saying.
Hmm. And in that helmet size grew by saying. Like 10 inches.
Flexing. Wearing, as Mike Felger would say, a knee brace on his elbow. Even though it's an elbow brace, Mike, you might want to know what you're talking about. Idiot.
Wow. Yarmir Yager.
Yeah. Isn't he about 73 years old?
41, I think, something like that.
Wow, he's the same age as you guys.
He's a kid to me.
Bledsoe.
Same age as Bledsoe. Think of that. Same age as Bledsoe. He was probably playing in the NHL. Well, when did his career start? It must have been early 90s.
It was like more than 20 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's phenomenal. He has seen Drew Bledsoe go through
$100
million contracts, multiple teams.
He left for a
teams.
While, though.
He did.
No, I know.
But
he still,
still
played, right? Didn't
yeah.
he play in Europe?
He played in somewhere over there, yeah.
Czech.
Czech Republic, right?
I don't know.
Let's go to the phones. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. So I have 2 points to make. Number one, I'd like to send a mayday to Jeff in Vegas. I hope he's okay. I haven't heard him in a long time.
He's fine. I saw him tweet one day.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Hi. Although he lives at
How
high,
are you?
He tweets at like 4 in the morning or something. Like, oh, I got to go to bed. And then her late night workout at Gold's.
Well, I just read a huge story in Sports Illustrated about the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament in Vegas has turned into, I mean, they have more betting on that than the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
Jeff might be just crawling out of a hole now from that a week and a half ago.
Yeah. He's no longer swimming in money.
Probably not. Yeah. Not sure he ever was.
Yeah. So the other point is what do you guys think of the off season so far? Are you happy? Are you satisfied with the signings and the acquisition that we've made so far for the team?
Lackluster.
Eh.
If they get Sanders.
Oh boy! Again with the Sanders.
I'll be satisfied.
I'm okay with it.
If they get Jerry, I mean,
I want a pass rusher. If they can get a pass rusher, if they get Abraham, I'll be real happy.
Well, I was at the airport the other day. I saw him. He showed me his contract.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about it.
Are you banging him too?
No. That's for you to do.
Hey, easy.
Yeah, if they get Little Abraham, bit. I'll be fine with the offseason.
I think it's still – I'll be happier. I still think they massively need a pass rusher, but you kind of re-signed your guys, which is what we kind of expected, but it's not really fun.
Well, it's not – no. In terms
I need Terrence Williams, and then I'll be happy.
In terms of splash and fun, no. But I thought the guys they re-signed – I think Vollmer and Tlaib in particular were guys they needed to re-sign, and I think that's
– Tlaib, I agree.
That's
Vollmer,
good.
Yeah, so we'll get our three games out of him before he goes on IR.
Here we go.
I thought we had signed that that player from Dallas, and then it was a wide receiver that seems like a Jag. So it's kind of a disappointing last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a training camp body who, you know, waste way it looks now, could make the team, but hopefully won't.
A solid pick who won't make the team.
Well, all right. Guys, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Olivier.
I'll talk to you later.
See you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Michelle in Stockholm writes in. She says,
hey,
I think
girl.
I need some therapy in regards to our wide
receiver
situation.
I'd like to give you some therapy.
Over the last few years, it seems like it's been miss after miss. I'd say Randy Moss was the last hit. And correct me if I'm wrong, our wide receiver has to be uber smart route runners, be within an inch of the mark, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe we should get a one-trick pony like Moss, someone who could run down the field and at any given moment catch a 60-yard bomb, because the other route doesn't seem to work. And I'm assuming this pony is somewhere to be found in the draft. Either way, I'm slightly worried about our offense, which is something I thought I'd never say. I can gladly report that I'm on the mend, but spring has been canceled.
I've never had pneumonia.
I had it once. I was out for a week.
Is it?
Yeah.
I
try to get out of bed, and I just had no energy.
Breathing-wise or just like flu type?
It's like the worst flu, but
I've never had it.
You tend to bounce back, though, pretty quickly from
Years ago.
Still today, though. I mean, you had a surgery, and you were in the office later that morning.
That was stupid.
I know, but
and
still.
And he hasn't stopped limping since.
The
surgery wasn't to his foot, though.
Yeah, well.
No, but your theory about bouncing back quickly, his foot has been a problem for 4 months now.
I would have been fine that day, but that was the narcotics that made me feel that way.
But they gave you the narcotics because you'd had major surgery.
Yeah.
They had gone inside your gut.
Fred's one of those guys who doesn't believe that
we've all seen your gut. That's major surgery.
The doctor's advice doesn't apply to Fred.
Right. He knows more.
He had major surgery, but I can go to work.
Right.
And then, 2 hours later, he looks at me and Andy like, oh, my God, I'm not sure he's going to make it home.
I'll tell you what's a scam is that physical therapy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a scam.
Don't tell my wife.
Here's the thing. Give me the exercise. Look at 90% of the people don't do the exercises when they go home anyway. Okay.
Right.
So they don't deserve to have physical therapy. Give me the exercises. It should be up to me to do them. I don't need to come back twice a week.
It has become more of a scam under your guy. Because of the changes to medical laws and
oh boy, here
billing.
We go.
I had a great experience with physical therapy.
Because
I only had it once. But
because of something about the
maybe
money
that was
and
great
the
experience.
No, I don't mean I went to one visit.
They now have to get like three people in per hour or per half hours. So they're bouncing. Physical therapy used to be like a full hour of one-on-one, hands-on.
Right, right.
Now it's becoming they have to have
drive-through.
Four patients going at once. That's why they put you to stretch and you on ice because they're still billing you for that and you're still technically – but they're not having to interact. It's a scam.
Yeah, see, I wonder if that would have been different, if my experience would have been different.
Yeah, Obama ruined
it.
That. Obama ruined it.
Because I had one guy that I don't know how long.
The big thing
it might
is
have only
now,
been a
too,
half hour.
Is they all hire PTAs, physical therapy assistants, and students. So there's like one physical therapist who's overseeing everything.
It's a crank. They're just cranking people
through. Right, because of the money. Because they're getting less reimbursement from insurance companies. And it's like the whole healthcare system. It's all effed up. It's not actually about, helping and doing what's right.
It's about making money.
It's business.
You're right.
It's all business now.
Yep.
He had to move on from that. It's no longer a scam because, his boy got implicated.
It's my president.
My president, too.
Now, did he get money to pay the devil in the...
Just not the one I wanted.
In that Bible series? Did you see that scandal?
Yeah.
The guy made the devil look like him. Well, but they didn't really make the devil look like him. Like, the story I read, this guy has played the devil in a lot of different... He clearly is what people think looks like the devil. He just happens to look like Obama.
Have you been watching any of that?
No.
It's phenomenal. And the Vikings series,
like
you would probably like that. Yeah, each one was 2 hours. The Vikings series has been phenomenal, too. That comes on right after the Bible. It's
Christian
only
Ponder in
there? See what you did there.
I knew he was going to say that. I mean, not Ponder, but I knew he was going to make a Minnesota Vikings.
Sam Steele?
Have you seen it?
Is that her name?
No.
I think you would like it.
You know what I watched that I think you would like?
Sam Ponder.
House of Cards.
K-Porn?
You have to have Netflix. It's What's a that? Netflix original series
about
with Kevin Spacey about this
to watch that.
Congressman who has all this power and how he manipulates and all the backdoor stuff that goes on in politics in Washington.
Eric would like that.
It's great.
He's
Sorry.
Such an ass.
It's really, really good. But it's you have to have Netflix in order to watch
oh.
it.
Yeah, I've been meaning to
Kevin Spacey
look that up.
Is
Kevin
the
Spacey?
Producer. It was really oh.
Oh, he's not in it?
Oh yeah. He's
oh, he
the
is.
Main character
he did?
Too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They just finished the first series. I mean, first season.
That's a weird thing. A weird
what?
Direction.
Just for Netflix.
Netflix
having
doing?
A series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an interesting...
Yeah. Hmm. So if, I'd like to hear what if our listeners have watched.
Because that Netflix
either
is...
the Viking thing or House of Cards.
The Netflix for adults is a scam if you do the online one. If you don't actually get the DVDs, there's no movies on there. Like, takes forever for, like, new movies to get on the streaming version of Netflix.
Right.
The only reason we have it is because the kids watch stuff all the time. But is that going to change?
I don't know.
Why do you have it, then?
I have
you have everything.
I have a TV that's hooked up to the internet, so it's got Netflix built into it.
You still have to pay for it.
Well, we have the subscription.
The subscription's
I know. That's why I'm asking, why do you have the subscription?
I don't know. I don't.
Because you have everything is the answer.
Just so you know, everything that he just said he had, I have on my TV too, but I don't have Netflix.
Right. I mean, it's capable, but you have to pay the $8 a month to get it. Mm. Why do you choose to do that?
James Pettigrew makes a point.
Didn't.
As we're talking about.
Obama made him get it.
We're talking about all pros during the winning era. Larry Izzo was a three-time all-pro.
Izzo or Izzo?
That's an interesting one. In the old days, he might have been a Patriots Hall of Famer, but I'm sorry, you get lost in the... Because, you know, when you... I'm not just basing it... When Bill talks about him like he was the greatest gift to special teams that ever occurred, that's one of those things where you go, wow, he's better than we even thought or knew. But you already have 13. Are we going to add the special teamer? Maybe 14?
Yeah, except when he talks about guys that might like Slater in the same kind of way.
No, he doesn't, though. No. He poo-poos any of those comparisons. He is very...
Yeah.
Izzo is the... Oh, my. Speaking of... Standard.
He just loses track of his thought right in the middle of the sentence.
You can't say anything, Fred, because you do the same. And you do it with any girl with boobs. I mean, she's a gigantic canned Dolphins cheerleader. She's hot.
She's hot.
You do it at like some random skank on an infomercial.
He's unbelievable. He really is.
This from the one.
How did the term can come about? Because they're not shaped like one at all.
They're more like bags of sand.
No, but where does it come from?
I don't know.
What is the etymology of can?
There was a time where milk came
Language
in cans.
Of origin.
They were metal.
But that's not real milk. They came in bottles. Real milk came in
no,
bottles.
No, they came in. There were these big cans. They were about 3 feet tall.
Oh, yeah, I have those.
With the flat top.
I have those. Yeah. I have one of those on my front steps.
Yeah. Yep. So maybe that's where it came from.
That would be a big can.
Hmm.
Oh, boy. Brent in Illinois writes in, Andy, why were you not listed as one of the top 20 notable runners in the marathon next week on Boston.com? I mean, Eric Alexander is listed.
He started an AFC title game. The worst coaching move in Bill Belichick's career. I mean, he's a far more notable person than I am.
Let's put him in the Patriots.
Although, by the way, a little bit of a drop ball by us organizationally. He wasn't really listed in the release promoting our team.
Josh in Arlington says, Andy's full of crap.
He is. As last check.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Who was – that's pretty embarrassing if he made the top 20 notable runners.
Yeah, there aren't a lot then.
Because he's not all that notable.
Right.
We're just talking about notable people. We're not talking about the professional runners, right?
No.
Right.
It's like celebrities at the Patriots game.
Yeah, but is he?
How many
Maria Menounos.
Yeah. But how many celebrities run the marathon?
Oh, I thought they were like was kind of a big thing.
I don't know.
I mean, 20 seems like a lot to me.
Oh, maybe. I mean, it's 20. We're at like 26,000 people run it or something. And I thought always there was like Dennis Leary and Will Ferrell. And I thought these guys always came.
Oh, on the marathon's press release?
Oh,
I thought you meant on our press release.
On ours, it didn't list him. It just lists him as the whole team.
Oh, yeah, the whole
text.
Team. That's
I mean,
true.
The guy
yeah.
started an AFC title.
Oh, he
game.
Should be in
He
ours.
Started arguably the greatest game or the greatest loss in Patriots history.
He's on the list at the bottom.
Right.
He's not in the.
So is everybody.
Yeah.
He should be in the.
He
top,
should have been mentioned.
Including
in the
former player Eric Alexander.
Right. Correct. I agree with Andy.
Yeah.
Josh says Andy's full of crap.
I also agree with that.
I disagree.
That's
my system, I'm rarely
I've
full of
I've been to PT before and after the election of Obama, and his description is inaccurate. Inaccurate.
You're wrong.
It was and is a scam. For the most part, in 07, with multiple patients. There was only me in 2012, 2013, but don't let doing a little research stop you from making stupid
I guarantee you I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think he is doing a
so
little
pull
research.
Pull your head out of your ass.
First of all.
Oh, my blaming an Obama might be wrong. That I just was low-hanging fruit. Because most of the Obama Act doesn't go in until like 2014 and beyond.
That's true.
It's typical politics. They talk about it like it's this big deal, and then it lasts forever. It's like when they say the budget. This will save us $20 gazillion over the next 20 years. Well, you're only going to be president for four. So my guess is they're going to put a new budget in. So give me the four-year savings, not 20, you clown.
As for Netflix.
And by the way, you idiot, I know all about the physical therapy industry. My wife is a physical therapist. I hear her bitch all the time about how it's become a car wash and it's not about actually treating people. It's about making money in units and all this crap.
As for Netflix, people pay the extra $8 for commercial-free watching of fairly recent cable shows. Totally worth it for $8 a month.
But isn't that now on demand? Or are the commercials on demand?
Wait a minute. So
yeah, but you can get Netflix without having to pay for all that Comcast stuff, right?
Well, but if you have cable, you have on-demand. I mean, very few people get the low-level cable. Yeah. So you automatically have on-demand, and you can go get shows.
But wait a minute. Is the email – I'm not sure if I'm getting this. The email is saying it's worth the $8
a
month.
Did Yager go to the Bruins?
You missed that old discussion.
Where were you? Because
true? Yeah.
Yes, we had a discussion
about it
on the air.
That he and Drew Bledsoe came into professional sports together.
I didn't know he went to the Bruins.
Well, you don't
listen. What we were talking about.
And you really don't listen. That's wow. You know, you're hurting all our feelings.
Too bad he's 41.
But
like Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
But is the emailer suggesting that it's worth it to get Netflix just so you can watch regular TV without the commercials?
It's called a DVR.
Yes, that is what he's saying.
I mean, I don't get that.
Yeah, because it only takes about 5 seconds to fast forward through commercials.
I think Netflix is absolutely worth it. I mean, $8 a month, you get a lot of different things that you have access to, whatever.
Netflix DVDs is worth it. I'm not sure the streaming is worth it.
But, I mean, to watch TV without the commercials for $8 a month, as opposed to just watching TV with the commercials for nothing, that's worth it to people?
Well, it's kind of our question. Remember, we asked if you could pay...
Even if you didn't have
X
a DVR.
Remember we asked that? If you could pay X number of dollars and the feed that came to your house was commercial-free, like you'd watch all sitcoms, they'd be 22 minutes, and then there'd be some dead air. Remember we had that discussion? Would you do it?
No, but I'm sure that we did.
We definitely did.
It sounds like a Paul and Andy discussion.
And how much would you pay? Would it be $5?
I would pay nothing. $8. I would pay nothing for that. And I hate commercials more than anybody.
And I like commercials.
Nick writes in, Andy, there are a lot of great shows on Netflix. Just because it doesn't have new movies doesn't mean it's just for kids. Also, Fred is right. House of Cards is a really good show, though none of the characters are actually likable. No, they're all horrible people.
Well, it's politics.
Yeah, it's like this show.
They're all monsters.
It's true. It's like our show.
This show's successful and we're all horrible people.
I don't want to give away anything, but they're monsters.
Spacey's a congressman.
Yeah, he's a southern, he's from Georgia, and he's a longtime congressman with a lot of power.
So the other characters are like his staff? Is that
It's his chief of staff. It's its wife.
Is there nudity?
They're like a power couple in Washington.
Nudity?
Obviously the president, the vice president. There's all kinds of people
involved. Who plays president? Anybody?
Will you answer his question?
Anybody we know?
Nudity? Is there nudity?
Some ass crack and some nipple.
That's it?
But,
I can
see
that on FX.
Yeah, it's not,
nipple I don't see on FX.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nothing gratuitous. Or it's all in context.
I can see that.
You know, and there's media. Media is also involved. Media members and... But it's intriguing.
So what is he, like a pedophile or something? You're making it sound like he's a really bad guy.
No, he's not a pedophile. But I think you have to get through the first episode because in the first episode you're like, no way. These people can't be like that. But then as you learn more, you're like, wow, okay.
They can't be like that because they're despicable
they're
or they can't be like
that? It's too stereotypical. It's too like, oh, they're too hardcore. But then as you learn more, you kind of get into it.
How many episodes roughly?
I think it was like 13 for the first season. So we were like staying up to like 1 in the morning. All right, one more.
Doesn't have time for new shows, but he's having marathons of, what's it called?
House of Cards.
House of Cards.
A lot of people emailing in about Andy's mischaracterization about
Jeff Dempsey.
What's going on with the healthcare.
Oh, healthcare.
We won't get into that.
It's not healthcare, it's PT. It's different.
And
not just healthcare
in general.
That's part of healthcare.
Healthcare is a scam. The entire industry scam.
Let's
see. I just don't blame that part on Obama.
No,
I think insurance in general is a scam.
Emmanuel,
I agree wholeheartedly.
And that's not any president's fault.
Well, the presidents don't stop it.
It's a business. It's think about the money that these pharmaceutical companies make.
Right.
They're not in the business of curing anything.
No, and none of these presidents are in the business of doing the right thing. They're in the business of staying in business
right.
as president. Nobody has morals anymore. It's all about the dollar.
Emmanuel in Maryland says, first off, I want to congratulate the PFW crew. You guys are the highlight of this day so far. Quick question about the draft. If we draft Tavon Austin early first and or Jasper Collins late third at wide receiver, I think it would help complete our roster. Also, would you guys discuss defensive prospects in the draft? And who do you guys like from the draft? P.S., he really did say Kruger had Welker to help him. Okay, no, but I meant Wilfork.
But Kruger didn't have Wilfork to help him. That was the part that really...
And when we asked you what you meant, you said, I don't know.
So you meant Ninkovich and Wilfork, but you said Kruger and Welker.
Ninkovich had...
0-2.
I was thinking Ninkovich had Wilfork to help him.
And you said Kruger had Welker. I could see where the confusion would reign.
Wow.
Anyway.
Someday they need to screw Junior Seau's head. They need to cut that brain out and figure out what's going on.
At least when they open up my head, it won't be full of poop and nipples and all kinds of stuff.
My head is full of nipples. I like my head.
So what was the question? Tavon Austin?
Defense.
Well, Austin is going to go top half of the first round by all accounts. I think that's an overvalue for him. I'm sorry.
And Jasper Collins is the little guy from Mount Union, I think.
Yes,
I haven't watched
5'10", 183.
Yeah, I don't really have any interest in another little, you know, water bug kind of.
I hate when they do
slot
that.
Receiver.
Just round up, 185. Think about 183. Like it makes a difference. Guy's 185.
Well, then why can't you
or
round
219?
Up 190?
And I'm angry.
6'5", 219. No, 220. The guy weighs 220. He puts clothes on. He's 220.
He only has shorts on when they weigh him.
That's what I'm saying. When you put the pads and everything on, the guy's 220
pounds.
No, but I mean, why do you have to put 219? I mean,
that's what he weighs.
Round
that's
up.
What the scale said.
Round up. It's 220.
But it doesn't bother you that they're 5'11" and 5'11" and 7'16".
Well, that doesn't list this in my book.
That's the
it
part.
It just goes with the rounded up number.
The combine
or down.
The combine heights that you need like a law degree to figure out exactly how tall they are. That kind of annoys me.
Yeah, it does. Just round it up. Round it up or down, whichever's closer.
Watching Tom Curran do a Leonard hair transplant commercial.
Is it working?
All dressed
up. I haven't
seen
him lately.
I don't know.
Jasper Collins, for a guy at a low level, nothing.
Do you get mad at people that get the hair thing, Paul? Is that like...
No, why?
No, I just think...
Is it like women who see other women who get a boob job and they like scoff at them? Like,
no. Nor do I get mad at women who have boob jobs.
You seem to have a little disdain when I mentioned that in your...
I think that's just Karen in general.
No, definitely not. And Tom, if you're listening, definitely not, because I don't need like a bat in the back of my head.
That's not what you say off the air.
Mike writes in, I was under the impression that they put Dante Stallworth on IR after that one game last year because maybe they wanted to keep him around. But other than his hot air balloon hitting the power lines in Miami, I haven't heard anyone mention him. He doesn't seem to be in the mix when people talk about Pat's receivers. Should he be?
No.
Since we put him on IR, is he under contract or on our roster? No, he isn't.
No.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, that IR only lasts for the term that year. That's it. And his contract didn't go beyond that. So.
Correct. So he's available.
Yep.
If another quality
How's
signing.
How's he doing? He got burned by the electrical wire.
I don't know how much he was I mean, do you know? More about that.
It sounded like he got some burns, but he was, I think, tweeting that he was okay.
Yeah, he was fine, and the agent
he's been tweeting
tweeted non-life threatening and non-career.
And when his girlfriend was with him, right, or
well,
somebody
saying friend.
Okay, well, he had works. However it was somebody
was
else
it a
was
girl.
I thought so.
No, I'm just asking.
But
oh,
no,
age,
he was,
you gotta ask.
No, he was with a girl. Yeah.
Okay.
And she suffered.
I'm okay if it wasn't.
So I guess she was
burned too, right?
Rather badly. I thought.
Just don't understand. I mean,
that's what I thought because I haven't heard anything about her.
Where did it take place?
In
Florida,
a hot air,
where nothing
hot
happens
air
good. You got these Johnny Come Latelys.
Nothing happens good.
Who just think they can start a company with hot air balloons. They probably was poorly regulated. They didn't have the right licenses and insurances, and they hit power lines. Hasn't happened around here lately.
Let's see. This last emailer is very upset.
Florida Chamber of Commerce on line one.
Well, the state smells. Don't tell me when you get off the airline, like the air isn't moist and smelly.
I think it all depends on where you are.
Yeah.
I've never had any problems with smells at my parents'
every
house.
Time I've ever been there, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Jacksonville, Tampa, smell.
Everything has a smell.
Probably the ocean?
Especially around Andy.
Right.
Ocean air, maybe?
No, it's not ocean air, because ocean air has like a
mouth.
Crispness to it. Because right on the ocean,
wow.
Right on the ocean is fine. Right when you're on like that A1A, that beach, but you get like a little bit, and then the stench of Florida seeps back in.
Moldy.
It's more moist, muggy, wet,
humid.
Well, it's climate. A swamp. I would not want to live in the climate. No question about
it's
that.
Swampy and
it's
moist
always
and
muggy in Florida. They should have a new
stinky.
Show. New show. It's always muggy in Florida.
Not just Florida sucks. And how a generation did
and they have sinkholes.
I don't
sinkholes.
Think Florida sucks.
They have
I would
gators.
Not want to live there, but I have no problems visiting.
Do they have gators?
I like it.
Yeah, gators.
No, there's no gators in Florida.
Crocodile and gator. I forget
Neil
which
in Canada.
One
says,
you can see their teeth when their mouth is closed. One you can. I forget which one.
Don't
it
get
is.
Me wrong. I think we need huge upgrades at outside receiver and pass rusher. But I'm here to address the biggest need of the off-season balls.
That's playmakers.
If we look past the problem of a lack of playmakers, we still have a team that is generally scared to play meaningful football.
No.
This team wants a minimum 14-point cushion and would like to go about the rest of the game feeling comfortable. Unfortunately, in the playoffs, there isn't an AFC East opponent to beat up on, and you have to be willing to be in a dogfight. The team preaches mental toughness a lot, but when it comes to it, they really don't embrace the struggle of a tight game. On top of all that, they lowballed the one guy who did show up to play in the AFC Championship game and replaced him with Danny Amendola. However, being the optimist that I am, I will say that I found Amendola's throwing down of his helmet in rage when he got injured to be encouraging. That's the kind of fire this team will benefit greatly from. For six games, four of them being complete games. I was also pleased to see my Patriots 2012 app get updated to the 2013 version this weekend. It has a loading photo of Tom Brady yelling intensely, which is nice. However, instead of showing him yelling at a receiver for running the wrong route on a 45-point blowout, I request that the photo be changed to show him sitting on the bench looking dejected in the third quarter of a home playoff game down by 7 points. You know, in the interest of accuracy.
Wow.
Wow.
Angry fan.
I'm sorry if this comes across as harsh, but it's better to accept the truth and correct it rather than set up for another failure. Take care. Wow.
Failure, Fred.
Neil from Canada.
What do you think of the word failure?
Yeah, just a failure.
Fred?
Unbelievable.
And so they're spoiled. Now being, if you win handily in the postseason, that's a bad thing because it doesn't prep you for the
well
game.
He's just saying that's what
be.
They
no he's saying
that's what they
he,
want.
Basically he's saying they're a bunch of front runners if they
right,
only,
but I'm saying if you beat the Texans by a comfortable margin in the postseason, that's not impressive because you didn't actually have to dogfight to win it.
No, he didn't say it wasn't impressive. He said that's the only way they can win.
Well, I think if that's fine. If that's the way you win, then win.
If it's comfortable for them is the only way. I'm not saying I agree with the guy. I'm just trying to give you his point of view.
It's a terrible one. I think we should start doing the previously on Felger and Maz thing. I think that would be funny. Previously on PFW in Progress.
And we have someone.
And just little snippets of one of your stupid arguments that you and Fred get in
well,
or something. And
I don't know if you've been.
Or Jeff Demps, okay.
I don't know if you've been hearing the Jeff Demps talk.
No, but don't you? I think that'd be. When we get a real producer, I think we should do that.
All right, that'll be it for this edition
of PFW
in Progress.
He won't even whine anymore.
Thanks for listening. What's today? Oh, Tuesday. So we'll be back Thursday. See you then.
They will.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.